It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Is this thing on? here we are. Thorn in the Side Thursday, the fifth day of August, 2021, the fourth full broadcast day of August 2021 is underway. Hi, I'm Robin, and this Thorn in the Side Thursday, well, it begins like every other broadcast does here at the Horn with gratitude. Gratitude to the people, subscribers at Patreon and PayPal, and in particular, gratitude to our fifth day of the month PayPal subscribers. That means thanks ever so much to Kevin in Colorado Springs, to Bernice Batty Boop. Thank you, Bernice. To James in Illinois. Thank you. Thank you to Roberto. Thank you to Kenda out in far Missouri, also known as the Show Me Morons State. We were talking about that earlier today. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this little independent, liberal, progressive broadcast operation underway and, well, on the air for, lo, these many, many, many years. I cannot thank you enough. You are the reason why this program exists. And, in addition, well, we have a challenge on the table to help take down the deficit, because the deficit stands at $600. Rico, our dear friend Rico, in the Blissful Burg, took care of the remainder of Bruce's Memorial Challenge and added another. This evening, this Thorn in the Side Thursday finds us with a $50 Silent R. Lamar the Magnificent Challenge. I just love that man, Rico says, and I wish I could be in one of his classes. So $50, and if it's met, we'll kick in another magnificent $50. So this is an opportunity to triple your money, not double it. That's a big deal. Triple your contributory dollars, and when that challenge is met, we will knock down the fundraising goal to $450. Which is substantial and formidable. That was signed Rico in the soon-to-be Steelers again, Berg. We're going to kick ass and take names. Apologies to Mo Brooks, Les Brames. Not. Love you, darling, and let's go Hornies. We love you, Rico. Thank you. And indeed, let's go Hornies. Yes, indeed. Indeed, indeed. And we're off and running with the cowbell, too. Thank you, Rico. Thank you. And yeah, it's time to start. It's August. It's time to start thinking about things like football, which the rest of the world calls what, because it ain't what the rest of the world calls football. You can see it. Well, I'm still out there pitching Ted Lasso because it's just one of the sweetest, most delightful comedies I've ever seen. Jason Sudeikis is magnificent, and the supporting cast that he has is equally so. So thank you for the challenge, Rico. Thank you very much. And Ralph says, yay for Rico. Indeed, indeed. And we are off and running on knocking some of that down. Ralph's herself just jumped in and said, with responding, yay for Rico. So there's $40 to go on it now. Thank you, Ralph's. Thank you, dear. Thank you so much. And let's see. A couple of different points. Let's see. Let's start with a little something from Ron and Raleigh. A date that will live in infamy. No, not December 7th. The date I mean is today, August the 5th. August the 5th, 1981, is the date that America began its long death spiral. Today, 40 years ago, Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself, fired 11,000 PATCO air traffic controllers, sending the union movement in this country into its downward arc into oblivion. I remember that. Someone dear to me, their father, was among those who were cashiered, who were sacked by old 666. And it was absolutely devastating to their family. From Ron and Raleigh continues, from about 35% union membership to around 7% today. After Reagan screwed the air traffic controllers, corporate bigwigs realized that they didn't need to fear union strikes. They could do what Reagan did and fire union workers and hire scabs. Less than 1 year after the firing, Wharton Business School had prepared a textbook on union busting. The only thing that trickled down was stagnant wages and misery for the working class. The pendulum swung to the right and has been stuck there ever since. The fools, including the air traffic controllers who voted for Ronald Reagan, still believe that Ronnie was on their side, and they still vote Republican. The Reagan administration was the beginning of the end for the American dream. Until Reagan wages tracked productivity, that ended with the union busting because corporate bosses understood that they could pocket more profit and not pay the people actually doing the work. Maybe sometime in the distant future, historians will look at Reagan's legacy and see the damage he did to the working class. I think the historians are already beginning to do that, Ron. It's interesting. At the same time that Jimmy Carter's stock rises, Reagan's sinks. Reagan was never anything more than blue smoke and mirrors. He was an act. He wasn't a president. He was a bit. He wasn't a chief executive. He was a performance artist, and not a very good one at that. You know, my God, what does it take to get up? How bad do you have to be upstaged by a chimp? But he was. He was. Randy Radar notes, yeah, he fired those PATCO air traffic controllers while the country cheered. Robin, you're right, Randy. You're absolutely right. And I guess we've got some business to take care of. Once again, we can disagree without being disagreeable. It's never easy, this sort of stuff, but as long as we are agreeably, you know, I don't mind sharing that kind of stuff. Glenn in San Diego sent a note over what I said last night about Nina Turner's loss in Ohio. I struggled with the decision to send this note and tried my best not to knee-jerk it and shoot it off in haste. Good judgment comes from experience and all that. But you're a broadcaster with a powerful voice and thus have the opportunity and maybe the mission to enter your listeners' psyches and influence their thinking along with the wonderful entertainment your show provides. As one of those listeners, I feel the need to share these thoughts so that you and hopefully the Horn Family Community Congregation will appreciate that there exists loyal opposition among them. Not enemies, but separated fellow travelers on the arduous journey toward a better world. I won't start by buttering your backside. Good! I'm very pale, and things like butter tend to make me get terrible, terrible sunburns. That may come a bit later, but first I must confess that I felt so viscerally deflated while listening to your retort to Joey and Jeffrey during Wednesday's show during Nina Turner regarding Nina Turner's loss in her election effort to win a congressional seat that I nearly fell through my own ass and hanged myself. I've listened to you in the Horn community for a while now, not as long as many, but long enough to consider myself an enthusiastic regular. I'm happy for you that you're taking some sorely needed time away from the mic, and also happy for the timing that allows me to take a break from you. I've felt from the start of my listening experience that I'm somewhat to the left of you, how much I wasn't quite sure. I was rather stunned, though, at your ardent and vociferous support of a campaign process rancid with skullduggery that put an obviously inferior candidate into office. One who will toe the establishment Democratic line and tout or at least acquiesce to the oligarchical neoliberal agenda in the party. Repeat that, Tom Brokaw. I don't do a very good Tom Brokaw. Your vehement and enthusiastic endorsement of Nina Turner's loss made me feel as though you might fall into that same category. Surely no way to achieve such things as universal health care or viable climate action in your lifetime. It seems your disdain for the sparkle-farting unicorn purity patrol, of which I am not one of, having voted for both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden in the national elections, is matched only by your zealous adherence to the established power elite purity patrol of the Democratic Party. I will deal with all of this, but we'll go with what Glenn said. One that would, in my eyes, rather see a Republican voted into Congress than allow a true progressive reformer into their midst, especially one with leadership qualities and charisma like Nina Turner. By the way, I don't recall you even mentioning the name of the winning candidate in the race. It would seem that is less important than the fact that Nina Turner lost. Well, her name is Chantel Brown, okay? I didn't mention her name because it really didn't beg mention. I'm sorry, I said I would wait on that sort of thing. I do also recall your rants aimed at Bernie Sanders during his campaigns, insisting he was not a real Democrat. Okay, we'll deal this with... For all I know now, you may have thrown similar brickbats at Ralph Nader, who in 2000 ran for president with no aspirations of winning, but to put Al Gore to the left, which he somewhat successfully accomplished. We all know that Al Gore won that election. Jill Stein? Jill Stein, that's all you got? Behold the field of fucks I give about Jill Stein, and you will see that it is barren. Stein was never a viable candidate and did not cost Hillary Clinton the election. Anyone who thinks otherwise, in my opinion, is an opportunistic grifter. Her supporters were never going to vote for Clinton on their best, worst, or any day. I knew it, you knew it, Nina Turner knew it. Clinton beat herself, just as you similarly professed regarding Turner's effort to win office. The opposition ran a better campaign. Ms. Turner honed her political chops working for Stein, made amends, and moved up to a more noble cause in Bernie Sanders. My Lord, she might actually have what it takes to lead many of those sparkle farters who were never going to vote for Hillary Clinton into the fold. What a nightmare that would be for Nancy Pelosi to have to try and wrangle in a progressive outsider who's not only a leader but a honey badger who doesn't give a shit about neoliberal politics as usual and actually fights for her constituents, the poor and working class of this country. She might actually help grow an authentic progressive wing with some real clout. I'm a full-throated supporter of the squad, but I have to be honest and clear. In my opinion, they have not yet gained the leadership skills required to get us going the direction of an FDR style, at least, let alone a true progressive party. Nina Turner could have contributed much toward that endeavor, and now we've lost the possibility of gaining a valuable asset in Congress, and it portends doom for any such effort in the future. It also raises the specter of the Democratic Party as it exists today, unable to be the Ouroboros, allowing transformation, shedding worn-out skin, and making room for the new, becoming nothing more than an old dead snake on the road to positive progressive change. There's a nonsensical rift, nonsensical but dangerous rift, forming within the political left, especially through social media, where all those immature, idealistic young whippersnappers hang out, and it would be a shame to have to witness the rise of some phony left People's Party ascend to a level where they can actually influence elections. The Democratic Party needs those young voters. Now comes just a pat of the unsweetened Derrygold, I think that's Kerrygold, on the derriere. I both respect and take copious amounts of pleasure in your ability to communicate, educate, and entertain. You're a veritable cornucopia of language, history, and useless information that is formidable and jaw-dropping. Having said that, yes, I will be taking a break from the Horn community, at least until the steam coming from my ears subsides and my blood pressure normalizes. I'm not dumping you, Robin. I do possess a modicum of my own critical thinking skills, and though I might not see you as the influential political philosophy guru I may have up until now, I will continue to listen. However, I may have to suddenly abort that experience from time to time if it becomes too excruciatingly clear that we are not on the same wavelength, but I think we can both live with that. Best wishes, my friend. Enjoy your time off, and please be safe. Thank you. And that's Glenn. Well, I stand by what I said. And I think there are some errors in what Glenn sent, and I point them out not as a means of refutation so much as correcting the historical record. Nina Turner was on board with Bernie when he ran in 2016. She didn't start out campaigning for Jill Stein and then, having honed her skills, move over to Bernie's campaign in 2020. That is simply not true. She was a Bernie supporter, as was I, vociferously so, throughout the primary campaign of 2016. When it became obvious that Bernie was not going to be the nominee, I shifted my support to Hillary Clinton, and I do not regret that for one moment, because I was right. And so was everybody else who did the right thing, the politically grown-up thing, and supported her candidacy for president. Could they speak? There is some percentage of heading towards 700,000 dead Americans who would likely say, yeah, I wish more people had voted for Hillary Clinton. We wouldn't be dead. Plain and simple. But Nina Turner didn't just vote for Jill Stein or say that she voted for Jill Stein. She actively campaigned for her to stop Hillary Clinton. In other words, she actively worked to help make the nitwit Nero administration, maladministration, happen. In other words, she actively worked to set up the situation that led to the deaths of north of 600,000 American citizens, because COVID-19 would not have come here, not in this form, not in this way, had Hillary Clinton been president of the United States, because, among other things, Hillary Clinton never would have fired the people we had on the ground in China monitoring this process. Hillary Clinton did not beat herself. Hillary Clinton won something on the order of 3 million more votes in the general election in 2016 then did nitwit Nero, just like she beat Bernie Sanders by around 3 million more votes in the primary process in 2016. It's a simple process. You count the votes. If you didn't get as many votes as the other side did, you didn't do a good enough job. Plain and simple. That's not an endorsement of old school party politics. That's not an endorsement of some sort of democratic machine. That is an endorsement of democracy itself. And I will not shrink from, and I will not apologize for, not supporting someone who actively helped to make the horror that is 2020 into 2019, 2020, and into 8 months into 2021, a vicious and deadly reality. I just won't. And as for Chantel Brown, I mean, her last name was Brown, for God's sakes. We're talking about the American electorate here. It could very well be that somebody, not knowing even what she looked like or who she was, may have thought she was some kin to the senior senator from Ohio, Sherrod Brown. I'm so old I can remember when Rush Limbaugh, who, by the way, remains joyfully dead, and has not yet floated away on a river of piss into his grave that's up somewhere in the North St. Louis area and floated into either the Missouri or the Mississippi River. I'm so old I can remember when he, not knowing who Sherrod Brown was, using the same voice he used for Jesse Jackson, mocked Sherrod Brown because, well, Rush Limbaugh was a nasty old racist. And in point of fact, he thought at that time that Sherrod Brown, who even a cursory examination would have noted, would have divulged the fact that white, No, he saw Sherrod, heard Sherrod in his golden EIB microphone voice, and decided to deride him as a black man. It's entirely possible the American electorate, being whom they are, you might have people who thought that Chantel Brown was some kin to Sherrod, or I'm sorry, Sherrod. It is, I think as we go further along and history takes longer looks at this, the fact of the matter is, I disagree with Glenn. There were people who would have voted for Hillary Clinton were there not a 25-year-long, vicious, bloodthirsty, hateful campaign against her that began sometime in 1992 and has not finished to this day. I'm so old I can remember Anthrax Coulter talking about how the Clintons decorated the White House Christmas tree with Bill's used condoms. And then, when that scandal broke, castigated Hillary for remaining married to him. Once again, a choice that belonged entirely and only to Hillary Clinton, but that didn't matter. But she did beat him by 3 million votes, Nitwit Nero, and were it not for the operations of, well, a racist relic from our enslaving past, would have been president, and again, 600,000 plus people might very well be alive. I can't get over that. I don't feel any need to get over that. I don't feel any compulsion to get over that. And I don't know how Nina Turner made amends. I don't know how one does something like that. But she definitely did not move up to a more noble cause than Bernie Sanders. No, she had been a member of the Ohio State Legislature. She was not a political neophyte when she came to Bernie's campaign in 2016. You know, it's kind of like something else that was said recently. Killer Mike, a big Bernie fan, referred to James Clyburn as stupid. And I saw some reference to Representative Clyburn having said, you know, I was going to stay out of this till they called me stupid. I don't think you get to be in the office and become the power broker that Representative Clyburn is by being stupid. I'm not out to set any political rift, and I'm certainly not holding myself out as some sort of political Svengali. I'm not. All I can talk about is where I come from and what my opinions are. And I try to back them up with facts, you know, like helping make the pandemic happen by helping make Donald Trump president. Yeah. Again, we can agree to disagree on these things. And if you're taking a break, Glenn, you know, enjoy it. Come on back anytime. Your thoughts are always welcome. There was some reference in there to Ralph Nader. I'm no Ralph Nader fan either, because in 2000, you know, if you're right, let's put it this way. If you're running around using the language of George fucking Wallace, don't expect at least a few people not to notice. There's a double negative in there somewhere. I hope that made sense. But yeah, during the 2000 presidential campaign, Ralph Nader would tell anyone who would bother to listen to him that there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, and that is exactly what George fucking Wallace said when he ran an independent campaign that could not win in 1968. while he remained an unreconstructed old racist. He later apologized for some of the racism, but that was not then. So maybe, no. Anybody who is philosophically allied with George Wallace, yeah, miss me with that. So I appreciate everything you say, Glenn, but I think we are going to have to agree to disagree. I'm not one of those people. My mind can be changed. I can admit I was wrong about things. And I have so done in the past. So, I don't feel it in this regard, however. I don't. After the program last night, our pal Clarence down in South Carolina stand dropped me a note about Chantel Brown, sharing a story from Jacobin magazine. Chantel Brown corruption scandal. Mm-hmm. And, well, you consider the source. Clarence says, you know, this lady has some issues to address. She may very well. And if those issues turn out to be provable and actionable, then I have no doubt that action will be taken. But I come back to what I said. People lose races when they don't run as good a campaign as the other side did. Plain and simple. That's all. It's nothing to get burned up about. It's nothing to get beat up about. It's nothing to and when our side tries to blame anything except not running as good a campaign as the other side did, it makes us look not ready for prime time. And to her credit, in her concession that I saw, Nina Turner didn't do that. But there are plenty of people out there who are. And I don't know. I don't recall attacking Bernie as not a real Democrat. I may have remarked at one point in time that he was registered Democrat to run for the Democratic nomination for president, but then he went back to being an independent. And that is exactly what happened in 2016, and it's exactly what he was before 2016. That's not a criticism. That is merely a fact. So, thank you again, Glenn, for your input. Greg says in regard, and I guess we're going to spend this Thorn in the Side Thursday relitigating 2016. The person most responsible for poor old Granny Pantsuit's defeat in 16 was herself for being a bad candidate, and not Jill Stein or Nina Turner. After that, the most responsible was the DNC itself for even nominating Hillsbilly. And even Mike Malloy predicted Trumpzilla would win POTUS after they fucked Bernie. Hell, I predicted it, too. Not because she was, in fact, the devil, but because there was a great deal of skullduggery and rat fuckery that really was going on that has been proven. There were thumbs on the scale, and they came from places like Mother Russia. I hope we don't doubt that. I hope we didn't finally buy into Nitwit Nero's big lie. It was a Russia hoax. We know it wasn't a hoax. We know what was going on. Why in the fuck was Sergey Lavrov present at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio? Since when do you invite the Russian foreign minister to, you know, attend your national nominating convention? Who does that? Well, the Trump campaign did that. Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third did that. Jill Stein only got less than 1.5 million votes. How on earth did that have anything to do with Clinton's loss? Well, it's where those votes were, Greg. They were votes in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan. if the, and it was, and the vote for Stein was a broader margin in Wisconsin, for instance, than the margin by which Hillary Clinton lost that state to Nitwit Nero. Numbers is numbers, and facts are stubborn things. If you subscribe, Greg continues, to this tired old notion that third-party candidates defeat frontrunners like they accused Ralph Nader did in 2000, then your belief in that fairy tale discounts the vote Tom Hartman cast for him in that context, and it's obvious the U.S. needs more than just two corrupt political parties in this failing experiment. Groovy. I guess this is that civics lesson. In a system that rewards the first past the post, there is no room for third place. The Olympics has gold, silver, and bronze. Well, that is not the American electoral system. The American electoral system is more like that sales contest in Glengarry Glen Ross, where the winner gets a new car, second place gets a set of steak knives, and third place gets fired. The bottom line is, when you're dealing with a first past the post system, anything but a vote for the candidate whose values most closely align with yours is effectively a vote for the other side, because it diminishes the force. I don't mean the force. I mean, it diminishes the electoral force of the candidacy. Plain and simple. You know, I'm sure there were some people who could have voted for Nina Turner, but if you look at the write-ins, you'll probably find Mickey Mouse or, you know, Uncle Ruckus or Bart Simpson or any number of write-in assholery. So, you know, no, I didn't vote for Nader in 2000. I voted for the candidate with a chance of winning whose values most closely aligned with mine. And again, when you run around saying that, and when you run around essentially quoting George Wallace, you're telling the world a lot more about yourself than you are about your opponent or opponents. You know, another, but there was more than that. Another thing that weakened, back in 2000, another thing that weakened Al Gore, God, it was 21 years ago, imagine that, it was the insurgent campaign of Bill Bradley of New Jersey. And we'd seen it happen before. In 1980, as an incumbent president, Edward M. Kennedy ran a primary campaign against Jimmy Carter and emboldened the opposition to him. And we got Ronald Wilson Reagan about it, out of it. And just a little bit ago, Ron and Raleigh pointed out that this is the 40th anniversary of the beginning of the end of the middle class in the United States of America, accomplished under old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Whatever else the legacy of Edward M. Kennedy be, his rat-fucking of Jimmy Carter in 1980 cannot be forgotten. And him being dead, I guess it doesn't matter if anyone forgives. Jimmy Carter has probably forgiven long since, because Jimmy Carter is probably the single most decent human being ever to actually occupy the office of the presidency. But that's all, you know, alternate universe stuff. So there we go, and I hope I've adequately explained myself, as well as Greg and Glenn in San Diego have explained themselves. Chantel Brown's donors. Ron and Raleigh says, Ms. Brown is not my kind of candidate. She's another corporate Dem. She will keep her mouth shut and follow Nancy Pelosi. So here we are again, blaming Nancy Pelosi, who under her leadership, has sent some of the most progressive pieces of legislation to the Senate of the United States for passage of any Speaker of the House of Representatives that has ever held that gavel. But nope, she's a corporate Dem and she's not sufficiently ideologically pure. And this is how we so star-spangled lose. Blame the wrong people. And if I'm an establishment Dem, you know, goddamn neoliberal establishment shill, I guess I'm going to have to spend a lot more time with my lips planted firmly on the posterior of Joe Manchin. Oh, wait, I don't do that. I've never done that. I can't do that. How about that? Because all that progressive legislation, it's almost in looking at, in describing, you know, the failure of progressive candidates to get more votes than their opponents, it's almost as though we forget that people like Joe Manchin and every Republican in the Senate exist. Okay? But they do. Us forgetting doesn't negate their existence. Look at all that progressive legislation laying in piles of dust and pools of blood on various and sundry desks like Moscow Mitch McConnell and Joe Manchin in the Senate of the United States. Glenn's note mentioned climate change. You can pass all the climate change legislation you want out of the House of Representatives, and they have been passed. And they went and died in the Senate of the United States, and the man holding the stiletto, having shanked those in the ribs, was Joe Manchin. You want climate change? You get out there. Forget about Nina Turner. Get out there and support Democratic candidates for Senate who will render Joe Manchin irrelevant. Don't be happy with the 50-50 split we have in the Senate. Save what is vulnerable. Save every seat we have. Save Senator Kelly in Arizona. Save Senator Warnock in Georgia. And bust ass in places like North Carolina and Ohio. Hey, you know what? Nina Turner could run for Senate in Ohio. There's no reason she shouldn't be able to. This isn't that election. There's nothing to stop her from running against, what's his name? He ran for president, too. I'm sorry, it's just not immediately to mind. She can run in the primary for that. Maybe she will. And you know what? If she won that primary, I would support her wholeheartedly. Don't know that I'd support her in the primary. Because again, I feel no compunction to ever forgive anyone who helped create the Trump presidency and helped lead more than 600,000 people to dusky death between 2019 and 2021. And that's just me. And if that's a character flaw on my part, then I just have to own it, like everybody else does. But I am still bitter and angry about what was done to this country. Over those 4 years, and especially the last couple of them. But I'll be honest about it. I'll be candid about it. And I see no... where's the expiation? I'm not aware of it. If it's there, I'll certainly acknowledge it. Not a dime's worth of difference. Stephen New York notes, except, going back to 2000, two words, Iraq War. Oh, hell yeah. Two words, How about three numbers? 911. Not a dime's worth of difference. Man, he sure lost his prophecy card in that one, didn't he? God. Again, I'm so old, I remember when a report on nationwide deficiencies in airport security was handed to the young dim leader administration back in 2001. He handed it off to a guy whose last job had been running the Arabian Horse Owners Association in the United States. A cat named Michael Brown, or as dim leader liked to refer to him, Brownie. Heck of a job, Brownie. Remember heck of a job, Brownie? Yeah. And of course, a few short months later, he'd be handed a CIA daily briefing entitled "Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S." But he couldn't be bothered because he needed to go out and chop some brush in some dusty shithole in Texas. Right? Right. Here's a handy-dandy quote from Nina Turner. Flavio sent this along. Nina Turner, assessing the choice of Biden against President Donald Trump in the November presidential election, told The Atlantic, quote, "It's like saying to somebody, you have a bowl of shit in front of you, and all you have to do is eat half of it instead of the whole thing. It's still shit." Flavio noting, she said that. Oh my God, she said that. Of course she did. Because she's ideologically pure. And Joseph R. Biden, who has actually presided over some of the most progressive legislation ever to be enacted into law since FDR, isn't. Mm-hmm. Jimmy points out, Robin, in a two-party system, it's a shame some people think their vote is a roll of the dice. Sad, sad, sad. I know. Nina Turner, conversation related, Jack in Shreveport says, I consider Bernie a real Democrat in that I consider a real Democrat to be an FDR Democrat, to put things as simply as possible. He is more of a real Democrat than many Democratic Party leaders. However, I don't think one could consider Bernie to be a real member of the Democratic Party. He caucuses with Democrats, but he's not a member of the party. I think I've got the details right, but maybe you need some corrections. No, I think you've got it right. We've got to make sure that we define what we're talking about. The Congressional Black Caucus endorsed Joe Biden. They've shown party loyalty. It's not surprising support went to Nina Turner's opponent in the primary. You know, there may be people whose lives were saved by the actions of Joe Biden who might possibly have taken umbrage at the idea that she considers the person who helped to save their lives shit. So, there's that. Steve in New York, and like I said, I didn't mean for this to be the thorn in the side Thursday conversation, because God knows we've got other stuff. But, and you know, if I was really, really concerned about keeping everything nice and shiny and happy and non-controversial, I wouldn't deal with any of this. But I think there has to be somewhere, even if it's a little teeny tiny radio program like this, where we can have these important family conversations and not wind up shrieking at one another or, you know, throwing shit or stomping out of the room or slamming doors. Steve in New York says, I'm PTFO. I think that's piss the fuck off. Politics is blood sport. Steve reminded us of this last night. I don't care where it is or which country it is. All is fair in politics. It's purely Machiavellian. When we start wanting politics to be about anything more than who gets more people to vote for them than the other person, we're living in a fantasy world. I'm sorry, but this is the way of parliamentary systems, constitutional monarchies, Republican systems, etc. Politics is not about fairness or how one feels. It's about votes, period. Did we get more than they got? If not, we lose. If we did, then we win. And we need to make sure we continue to win to get our way. All this proportional this or proportional that is nothing but academic and intellectual masturbation. It's simply about this. Get more votes than the other gal, and you win. If you don't, you lose. And if you lose, you have nobody to blame but yourself. So there's that. Well, thank you, Dave, number 11. I guess you're right. You do this segment about once every 10 months. You need to let the ideologically pure have their delusion. You'll never change the world. No, but I also can't. It would have been shitty of me to take a note that had as much effort put into it as Glenn put into it and just pretend it didn't land. Because this isn't that community. Glenn says, I think I'm more to the left than you are. I kind of doubt it. I'm really left. But I'm really left in a way that acknowledges that it doesn't matter how left one is if one is left out in the cold and doesn't have power. Sometimes you don't say the quiet part out loud. A whole lot of successful retail politics in America is, in fact, not saying the quiet part out loud. But I'll just leave that part at that. But you're right. You're right. Thanks for the reminder, Dave. And maybe that's the cycle we're on. Maybe the Earth takes 12 months to orbit the sun. Maybe it takes 10 months for me to, I don't know, notice the, maybe that's the cycle. About every 10 months, somebody decides to upbraid me for my lack of ideological purity. But then again, there just aren't a shitload of people out there who have a senator like Joe Manchin. I mean, if you're in Arizona, you know. Hi, Suman. If you're in Arizona, you've got Kyrsten Sinema. And I'm sure there are no small number of people who absolutely despise the air she breathes and the ground she walks on right now. And you know what? It ain't like she didn't fucking earn it. You know what I mean? And earns it every freaking day. Tim Ryan. Thank you, Steve. Steve in New York serving as a member of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee. This is Tim Ryan is running for the seat being vacated by, what's his name? The Republican, Portman, Rob Portman, who has just kind of had enough and got to a point where he didn't want to have to say MAGA at the end of every sentence and decided he would quit being a United States Senator and spend the rest of his life with a nice little corner office and a desk and a hefty paycheck from some goddamn wingnut welfare association that will pay him a ton of money for essentially doing nothing. Except occasionally making phone calls to his old pals, reminding them of what corporate America expects of them. No blame intended, says Ron in Raleigh. I'm just stating the facts. Nancy Pelosi's not a progressive, no matter how much you want her to be. She will not even have a town hall meeting in her district. She's against Medicare for All and other truly progressive legislation. She can shove as many bills to Mitch McConnell's desk if she knows they will die there. As Joe Biden said, he would veto a Medicare for All bill if it came to his desk. Joe's not a progressive either. I've said before, Miss Nancy is good at what she's good at, which is wrangling her caucus and stomping on the squad. I think she's good at a whole lot more than that, Ron. And I think she would, and I think she's proven that over a lengthy career. She won't have a town hall meeting in her district? Would you? I mean, really? Really? Representative Ron in Raleigh, standing up there, and without, 3 feet of Lucite bulletproof or you know, bulletproof glass between you and the hoi polloi. Nancy Pelosi was a young woman when Harvey Milk was gunned down. I suspect she remembers that. And, you know, we actually have constituents of Nancy Pelosi's in the Horn Family Community Congregation. And they probably have a better vantage point on how progressive Nancy Pelosi is than just about anything anybody else. They've seen fit, after all, to return her to office every 2 years since Christ was a corporal in the army of God. So I don't know that there is a clearly delineated a benchmark of how ideologically pure she is. And Medicare for all? Look, as long as every American can go to the doctor when they're sick and not be bankrupted in the process, I don't care if you call it Trump care. Honest to God, I don't. What matters to me is people being able to access the health care that they desperately need. So, I mean, there is that. Wow, says Jack in Shreveport, there's a lot I didn't know about Nina Turner. Well, I mean, this isn't the Nina. This is, you know, I come not to bury Nina Turner nor to praise her. This is all just my impression. I mean, in that race, there would have been three choices for me if I lived in that district: vote for Nina Turner, vote for Chantel Brown, stay home. Well, I'm not a stay home kind of girl, and I'm not going to vote for somebody who unapologetically helped Donald Trump get elected. So that leaves me with a choice I don't like. That's one of those hold your nose moments. Because, look, we've got candidates like that in West Virginia. I said this last night. We've got a guy who runs who ran a campaign and said, you know, I voted for Donald Trump, I'll tell you that right up front, but I sure regret it. I mean, that's at least remorse. But for me and a number of other people, that calls judgment into question. That says that bad judgment may be a part of the decision-making process, and doesn't sit well with me. Also not running for office. Nobody is above criticism and being challenged. That's why, you know, American politics, in addition to being what Steve in New York describes as blood sport, is also root hog or die, tough hide lasts the longest. So there's that. Steve notes, Rob Portman is actually a pretty nice guy. My former chief of staff married a member of his staff, and I went to the wedding in Northern Ohio, and it was more fun than, well, I won't get into that. His chief of staff was a fucking hot young Italian guy. I won't tell you his name in case he hasn't come out yet. Yet. Yeah, not outing people if they're not already out is not a thing to do. So, thanks for that, Steve. He may be a nice guy, but he's still got an R after his name. And he still does horrible things to the American people. And, you know, if you're smiling while you're slitting somebody's throat, I don't care how pearly your pearly whites are. Yeah. Answer me this, Ron in Raleigh asks, has what Joe Biden has done in the 6 months of his presidency made up for all his crappy legislation from 1972 on? Probably not, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when the chips were down, he's done more than most of us would ever dream he might have done. Maybe that's a low bar. He's done a shit ton more than Nitwit Nero would have done because, well, Nitwit Nero just sat around while 500,000 Americans fucking died. Sorry, that may have sounded a bit peremptory. I didn't mean that. None of us can live up to the scrutiny that the that we hold politicians to. And politicians themselves seldom can live up to that. So, probably not. Probably not. He probably never can. Maybe what's going right now is going on right now is him trying to make up for it. I don't know. But it's kind of like all the he's kind of like all the I don't know where that thought was going. That train ran off the tracks. No, I didn't. I didn't see you last week tonight, Lee. Maybe I need to check that out this evening. Oh, and that was not Rob Portman's chief of staff, Steve wants to make clear. So I think that's an appropriate addendum. And Steve notes, by the way, I'm pretty sure I'm not more left than you are. I'm pretty sure nobody in the Horn family is more right than I am. By the way, what the fuck does that mean? And goddammit, have you gotten a yellow and white frilly parasol yet? No, I've been parasol shopping, but I just can't quite find the right one. Mm-hmm. So, here we are. And the question is, what are we going to do about 2022? Is the thesis, and I want to be clear on this, I'm not asking this because this is not a rhetorical question. Are we absolutely convinced that Chantel Brown can't win that seat? Isn't that the seat that was vacated by Marsha Fudge when she went to become part of the Biden administration? Do you think they would have tapped someone from a district that would be likely to go Republican? That is a sincerely asked question. And I don't necessarily know the answer. If that seat goes to a Republican in 2022, is that what the rallying cry is going to be? Nina Turner would have won? I don't know. I got a note from Shorty in L.A. Robin, girl, I'm about to... Now, all I can say is right now, dirty words. I love my Horn family, and I love everybody's point of view. Right now on the Horn family show, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, right? Well, today is Thorn in the Side of the Horn Thursday. I'm saying this because this is what my ears are 100% hearing right now. Full disclosure, Robin, no matter what, I'm still enjoying every word of today's program, period. But, girl, I'm about to pop, scream, or should I say throw a Nerf football at the conversation. I'm here for my family. Every family has days like this, and these words are fruitful, helpful, and necessary, no matter how uncomfortable it is for my ears to hear them. I need to vent about current global thorns and offer a challenge. Thanks for listening. I know I missed a lot because of voice typing and trying to correct my usual typos. That was just fine. No, you did great. You did great, Shorty. No problem at all. We can get the conversation going most any time, because this little family intervention has taken about an hour. I didn't mean for it to, because we've got let's see here. Now, like I said, we've got the usual suspects to deal with this evening, and well, here he is. Say goodbye. to Dickinson City Council member and State Republican Executive Committee member H. Scott Apley in Texas, Dickinson, Texas. 45-year-old Scott Apley went home to be with Jesus around 3 o'clock in the morning, I presume Central Daylight Time. Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. He was admitted to a hospital in Galveston, Texas, made famous by Glenn Campbell's song. And he went out horizontally crucified. With what were described as pneumonia-like symptoms. You know, in other words, COVID-19, not that I'm laughing about it. He leaves behind his wife, Melissa, who is COVID positive, as well as their infant son, Reed, according to a statement. So either she gave it to him or he gave it to her, and one can only hope the little baby will be okay. Sean Skipworth is the mayor of Dickinson, Texas, and said on Facebook, "My heart is broken for his family. Scott was a new father, and that makes his loss especially tragic." The chair of the Texas Republican Party, Matt Rinaldi, said, "Please join me in lifting the Apley family up in prayer. We will miss Scott deeply, but find comfort knowing he is at peace in the arms of our Savior." And nowhere along the way did any of the statements mention that, you know, he died of COVID-19. Because, well, that might have been a little bit uncomfortable. Or perhaps, what's another word? Awkward? See, back in May, Scott Apley, 45 years old, went on social media to invite people to come to a mask burning that was being held at a bar in, of all places, Cincinnati, Ohio. Scott Apley said, "I wish I lived in the area." And along the way, he had also posted an article about, you know, the giveaways that have attended trying to get people to get their vaccine. And he said it was disgusting. And, you know, being a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, he had also railed on and on and on about the vaccine passports and how they're going to take your freedom with their vaccine passports. And he said that mask mandates in Germany were right, that it was just the return of Nazism. And then there was the time when Lena Wynn, who is the health commissioner in Baltimore, when she stepped up and said that the effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine was good news, she said, "She's an absolute enemy of a free people." Hashtag shove the carrot where the sun don't shine. Yeah. Then there was the time on Facebook that he wrote, "Question, if businesses start allowing customers and employees to go mask-free only with voluntarily providing their vaccination record, presumably not a HIPAA violation, wouldn't that basically involuntarily identify people who have chosen not to get vaccinated, which might be indirectly creating a HIPAA violation?" Because, you know, between all of 2020 and this far into 2021, the rallying cry of the maggots is HIPAA! When, in fact, they don't know any more about what HIPAA means than they know what critical race theory is. But that's a hallmark of being a Republican. You don't actually have to know what something is in order to opine vociferously against it. And then July 30th, July 30th, not quite a week before Scott Apley, 45 years old, with a COVID-positive spouse and a one-year-old baby, shuffled off this mortal coil. He went on Facebook again and reposted a meme. That meme said, "In 6 months, we've gone from the vax ending the pandemic to you can still get COVID even if vaxxed, to you can pass COVID on to others even if vaxxed, to you can still die of COVID even if vaxxed, to the unvaxxed are killing the vaxxed." Yeah, and he missed the part, I guess, or that meme didn't have it in there, where the unvaxxed are doing 99 or at least 95% plus of the dying now. And now Scott Apley, aged 45, a member of the Texas State Republican Executive Committee, is singing with the bleeding choir eternal. And meanwhile, the Galveston County Daily News noted that Mayor Sean Skipworth of Dickinson was not able to say whether or not Scott Apley had been vaccinated. Well, considering all of his social media posts, is there really any doubt? Is that subject to question? Yeah. So goodbye, Scott Apley. My sympathy to the people who miss you. My greater sympathy to your one-year-old son who will never know his father, because his father put his politics ahead of science and ahead of the need his one-year-old baby had for a daddy. Dave number 11 with an update. We won a gold medal in COVID transmission from the Humboldt Health and Human Services. August 4th, 2021, 82 new cases reported today in Humboldt County. Universal masking order to take effect Saturday. 82 new cases have been confirmed in Humboldt County today, the highest single-day count and far exceeding the average daily cases at the height of the pandemic in January. God. And all those people, with all those cousins, with all those sister-in-laws, with all those husbands riding all those motorcycles, who get hit by all those peach trucks, and their death was listed as COVID because the hospital has to say COVID in order to get the extra money from the federal government. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, and something that our good friend Kenda out in Missouri, the Show Me Moron state, said, it's no accident that Missouri's official two-letter abbreviation is M-O, and she follows it up with hyphen R-A-N-S. Candace saying, I was born and raised in these hills. I know plenty of them. Headline: Missouri coroner removing COVID-19 from death certificates if families request. How can a coroner do that? Well, because a coroner is not officially a medical examiner, I guess. Macon County, Missouri coroner Brian Hayes, a Republican elected official, upon being interviewed by the Kansas City Star, said a lot of families were upset and didn't want COVID on the death certificates. Yeah, because they're embarrassed to find out that their loved one died of a Chinese hoax, or something that was promised to them as a Chinese hoax, or the Kung flu, or the Wuhan flu, by any number of Republican members of Congress, state legislatures, county commissions, city commissions, mayors, what have you. I won't lie for them. It's going to be true, but I do what pleases the family, the coroner, Brian Hayes, went on to say. And he's also a partner at a local funeral home, by the way. He can only fulfill the request from the families to delete COVID from the death certificate in cases where other conditions like pneumonia or long-term smoking were also determined as central factors in contributing to a person's death. Yeah, because that way the good grieving Baptist can go into church and say, "We told him that smoking would kill him." My dad used to tell a story about a man who died at a great age here, and all the little blue-haired Baptist ladies went to the funeral, and there he lay in his coffin, dead at the tender age of 92, and they clucked and clucked amongst each other and said, "We told him that smoking would kill him." Now, I don't know that that was true, but it's a story my dad told. So, the CDC says that about 92% of the cases where COVID-19 was listed on someone's death certificate were situations in which the virus prompted a series of events that ultimately led to the person's passing. COVID pushed them over the cliff. They might have gone on living but for it. Here's the problem, though. In the article from the Kansas City Star, they pointed out that Coroner Hayes' alteration of some death certificates actually makes Macon County, Missouri's COVID-19 death count higher than the 19 reported by officials. Oops! And the CDC on Tuesday pointed out that the tally right now is about 611,000 confirmed deaths, but more than one epidemiologist and virologist and statistician has pointed out that whatever the official number is, the real number is probably substantially higher. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's Mike Chambers in the Hill story. He's the administrator of the Macon County Health Department. And asked by the Kansas City Star for comment, he said, "Well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with Coroner Hayes' assessment and his decision to delete COVID-19 references. But I can see both sides. There are viruses out there that are so similar to COVID, like the flu, and unless you do a test to confirm, you just don't know." When's the last time you lost your sense of smell and taste from a case of the flu? Because for me, that would be never. And if they go out of this life going, "Hey, why can't I taste nothing no more?" Just relax, sir. We'll get that garden hose right down your throat in a jiffy and horizontally crucify you. You won't have to worry about tasting anything because you won't be getting any more food for the rest of your life, which is maybe about 2 weeks long. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Missouri Department of Health said there's been substantial misinformation aimed at both understanding and overstating the impacts of COVID nationally. As such, Missouri has chosen to remain consistent in our determination process, verified against a national standards process by CDC's National Center for Health Statistics, and report consistently. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there in the Show Me Moron state, Missouri has had a little over 500,000 confirmed COVID-19 cases as of yesterday, and more than 9,700 people have died of it, and that number is higher than more than 9,700 because it includes the number of people whose COVID fatalities were conveniently erased by Coroner Hayes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God Almighty. So, that. A note coming in from Megan. I supported both Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren during the subject line is, with friends like these, who needs enemies? I supported both Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren during the primaries for the 2020 election. I remember Bernie supporters tweeting snake emojis to Warren supporters and then getting butthurt when Bernie didn't get all the support of Warren supporters after she dropped out of the race. As for Bernie, I remember him openly embracing the support of Joe Rogan. You know, the dude who openly showed hostilities to trans folks on his program. And the guy who said young people didn't need to get the vaccine, that Joe Rogan, that Pink Shrek, all while being told by Bernie supporters that Bernie was going to be a great savior of the U.S., including women, people of color, and then the LGBTQIA+ community. Oh, and then there's the rash of self-proclaimed leftists on social media who not only repeated Russian propaganda about Biden, but then openly said that if Nitwit Nero got back in, it'd be okay because then they could have their glorious revolution. I also remember Bernie, during the last debate with Biden, purely equivocating when asked if he'd nominate a female vice president while Biden made that promise on TV and followed through with it. And that's not even getting into the disgusting behavior of Bernie's press secretary, Brianna Joy Gray, on Twitter, who, among other things, harassed actress Yvette Nicole Brown and openly admitted she voted for Jill Stein right before the election. I think the phrase she used was Jill fucking Stein. If Bernie supporters can't or won't understand that this behavior is pushing away the very people they need to get their candidates into office, then they're part of the problem. Here's the thing. I'm not interested in the leftist version of the MAGA Tea Party. All you have to do is look at the Republicans and see how well that extremist agenda is working out for their party. At best, they're sinking themselves as a party and sending supporters away in droves. At worst, they seize power, and guess what? We don't just suffer. We fucking die. Pick your poison, folks, Megan says. I was really hoping we'd learn more after the past two election cycles, but after the start of this program, I greatly fear we haven't. And that makes me scared shitless for the future. But if there is any hope to be had, and I hope there is, it is that we are having this discussion in about as civil a fashion as it can be had. Because, I don't know, gosh, maybe we're all just tired of talking about COVID, right? Maybe we wish we were so over with it. Well, we can wish in one hand and, well, you know how the rest of it goes. And then this, and look, this is a free exchange of ideas, so let's not anybody attack anybody for any of this. No one's been attacked. We're sharing these ideas, and they matter. John in Central PA says, do you mind if I say something controversial? Free country. I voted for Bernie Sanders in the 2016 Pennsylvania Democratic primary, but I have recently developed the opinion that he's a bit of a fraud. Allow me to explain this. When is the last time we actually heard from him? With everything going on, i.e. fascists trying to take over this country and assaulting our freedoms daily with toxic rhetoric and voter suppression laws, etc., the only time he ever uses his enormous platform is when he's running for president. I first started supporting Bernie in 2015 when I heard a brilliant speech in support of the working class on the Senate floor that he made. But that was after he already started running for president. He did do some work during the Trump horror years, but went away again after his 2020 race was over. Haven't heard from him since. Yet, since running for the presidency, he has become a millionaire. The candidates he endorses always seem to lose. And the only results he has yielded for the progressive movement have been division. Now, I do disagree with your opinion that he is to be blamed for Joe Manchin becoming chair of Natural Resources Committee. Isn't that Joe Schumer's fault? Anyways, just my opinion. Sorry if I offended anyone. Don't apologize. Don't apologize. And I will disagree with you a little bit, John. He has been seen. He's been out and about. He's been saying important things. He's been talking about issues that matter to working Americans from his perch as head of the budget committee. I'm so old I can remember when Lindsey Graham breathlessly muttered from beneath the fainting couch down at the old family estate of Smoldering Chode that, well, if the Democrats take the Senate, then you're gonna wind up. I mean, if the Republicans hold the Senate, then you get me, Lindsey Graham. Lady G as the head of the budget committee. But if then Democrats get the majority, it's going to be Bernie Sanders. Can you imagine? Bernie fucking Sanders. Oh, my God. Get me a Darvon and a margarita, please. And get me off the floor and get me up onto the fainting couch. Golly, oh, my God. I don't know. I can't hardly stand. So no, Bernie's been talking about infrastructure. Bernie actually talked about the fact that the infrastructure that America needs about $10 trillion worth of infrastructure investment, and I agree with him. I agree with him a lot of the time. So he has been out there, John. Let's be fair. I'm not attacking you. I'm just sort of pointing out that what you say is not entirely correct. But no, it's not Joe Schumer's fault that Joe Manchin is head of the Natural Resources Committee. Two people outranked him. Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, if I recall correctly. Maria Cantwell was moving on. By the way, the previous head of Senate Natural Resources was Barbara Boxer. And Barbara Boxer was recently attacked at home in California. She's 80. And someone attacked her. And the story kind of fell off of the radar after the report of the attack. But in the wonderful world of who, what, when, where, why, how, and how much, you know, real journalism, I was left wondering, was that just some rando? Or was it somebody who wanted, who had been stochastically, who had been weaponized by virtue of stochastic terrorism? Still don't have an answer on that. But no, the fact of the matter is Debbie Stabenow said nah to being chair of the House Senate Natural Resources Committee. And Bernie said, I want budget. And that's how Joe gets there. It's formalized by the Senate Majority Leader, but it is a merely a pro forma approval process. I mean, really? Senator, Chuck Schumer is pretty much the senator from Wall Street. If you think about it in those terms, John, do you really think that he wanted a Democratic socialist running the budget committee? And that's not a pejorative. That's what Bernie calls himself. I wish he'd just call himself an FDR Democrat, and that would take away. We've had that conversation, too. Never mind. But, I'm sure the senator from Wall Street could think of a lot of other Democrats he would rather have had head the budget committee in the Senate, but it's how those prerogatives work. So it really is on those two senators who took a powder on being chair of the committee that will make some of the most momentous decisions about how the United States deals with a rapidly feedback looping climate catastrophe. So, you know, there's that. Thank you, by the way. Thank you to Christopher. Thank you, Christopher. We've got $30 to go on Rico's Lamar the Magnificent, Silent R Lamar the Magnificent Challenge. Thank you, Christopher. I'm sorry, I got all wrapped up with that, and I didn't mention it as quickly as I should have. Thank you so very much. $30 to go on that, and then and that's a triple your money challenge too, by the way. So Christopher's 10 turned into 30, not 20. Okay, and the same for Ralph's. In fact, with us approaching the halfway mark of the program, let me make sure that nothing else rolled in without me noticing. Ah, thank you, Tim. Yes, something did roll in. Thank you, Timothy. Thank you very kindly indeed. That gets us down to $15 to go on the challenge. And now we're down at 5, thanks to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you so very kindly. So we got $5 to go on the challenge, and taken together, that would be we'd get down to $450. Thank you. John responding. Okay, I stand corrected on both points. Thank you for clearing that up. Happy to help. I mean, you can always check me on it. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am in this case. And I just happen to have spent the last 20 years of my life working on issues around climate, and I remember people saying that climate and climate catastrophe was the single greatest national security threat facing the United States. And if that's the case, and I trust the science on this. I don't believe it. Science doesn't give a damn if you believe anything, but I trust it. It's been peer-reviewed. And, something around 97% of scientists agree that climate catastrophe is real? And they trust the science? So I trust them. And so it absolutely befuddles me, it flummoxes me, why you would put something like that in the hands of, really? Joe Manchin? It makes my liver quiver. We've got that going on. Stephen New York said, I'm sorry to say this, but if snake emojis leave a group of people this butthurt, then yes, all is lost. Let's not forget that it was Senator Warren who showed such unbelievably poor political instincts as to her Native American heritage. Ah, come on, really? You're decrying the snake emojis, and then you're going to the fact that she shared verified genetic information and was attacked in a coordinated smear campaign from the right? I'm part of the problem, Steve says, by continuing to pour salt and rubbing alcohol in the wound under the scab. Truth be told, I'm getting to a point where I'm looking forward to my get-out-of-jail-free card for moving to Canada and marrying my partner there. And as for Bernie not being heard from, Ron in Raleigh points out accurately, as a politician, you're only heard as much as the mainstream for-profit media want you to be heard. Even when he was running, Bernie got less press than other candidates. The mainstream does not care for Bernie or his ideas. Well, media companies certainly don't because, Bernie's ideas are antithetical and inimical to the multi-billionaire for-profit media in congressional media industrial complex. I mean, when I think about, and again, deep dive history, although I'm so old, when I think about the manifest harm that has been done to the American body politic thanks to the Telecommunications Act of 1996 that pretty much ushered in Rupert Murdoch and Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, it's hard to overestimate that. It's hard to even express the profundity of it. So take that such as it is. The lines are open if you want to engage in some conversation. This is, after all, conversation radio. I'm going to we're going to run by and check in on all the happy news that I'm sure that Brad and Desi have for us. Here we go. Oh, by the way, the stress line, 844-843-4676. The other line, 304-574-8178. And then, of course, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Okay? Okay.
It's Thursday, August 5, 2021.
Greek firefighters are battling 81 forest fires across the country as temperatures soar to 116 degrees Fahrenheit.
Record heat wave in Europe accelerates record outbreak of wildfires. Wildfires are sending carbon offsets up in smoke, plus...
Yeah, it's frightening. There's a scenario here where people will run out of water.
California tourist town on the verge of running out of water.
Fantastic. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
California is running out of water, and this time, just when we started showering again.
Speak for yourself, Mar. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up.
Okay, Desi Doyen, we've been talking about floods, fires, heat waves in this country and in Europe. And they're not getting any better today, are they?
No, they are not. Europe is broiling under an intensifying, record-breaking heat wave. Greece this week set a new all-time national temperature record of 117 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm. Then, on Tuesday and Wednesday, more than 75 wildfires broke out in Greece. Officials have closed the Acropolis in Athens during afternoon hours because of the heat. Studies show extreme heat waves are among the clearest manifestations of human-caused global warming. In Turkey, people are being evacuated by sea because a wind-driven wildfire has ignited a coal plant near the town of Oran. Officials say the plant's hydrogen tanks were emptied prior to evacuation.
I'm not sure I even got any snark left at this point.
In the U.S., the National Interagency Fire Center says fire crews are now battling 97 large active wildfires. But some good news in Hawaii, fire crews are gaining ground on the largest wildfire in the Big Island's history.
That's what suffices for good news?
Wildfires in the U.S. are also sending carbon credit programs literally up in smoke. Carbon offset programs allow polluters to purchase credits for carbon sequestered by those projects, effectively allowing the companies to continue polluting.
Yeah, that's the theory.
But the wildfires are torching the forests being used as carbon credits. That's according to nonprofit research firm Carbon Plan.
So carbon offsets were always kind of a scam anyway. Now they don't even have the trees to use for this scam, I guess.
Nope.
Wow.
Grist reports that the private insurance industry is increasingly ending coverage for farms in California as too risky due to the increase in catastrophic wildfires. And premiums for the state's public wildfire insurance program have quadrupled to unaffordable levels for small farms. Mm. The fires are driven by extreme heat and drought, and in Northern California, the historic town of Mendocino is running out of water. Wells are drying up amid an historic drought, forcing residents and business owners to spend thousands of dollars to truck in water from elsewhere. The heat waves and wildfires hit as the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is about to release its latest global assessment of climate science.
Which is already, I'm sure, totally out of date.
Well, the IPCC's sixth assessment is expected to be grim and will explicitly link recent major extreme weather disasters around the world to man-made climate change.
I don't know why they don't just release the Green News Report as the IPCC's next report.
The report is being published in advance of the next phase of negotiations between governments on the United Nations Paris Climate Agreement set for Glasgow in November. As climate scientists and climate campaigners have been warning, current pledges from governments are not enough to reach net zero emissions by 2050, according to senior UK climate official Chris Stark on the BBC.
When you look at the policies to deliver it, I'm afraid we are very off track, very, very substantially off track. Really only about 20% of the policy commitments that the government has made would take us towards that goal of net zero emissions.
Fakest accent I've ever heard.
But some good news.
Good.
As we go to air, the Biden administration is set to announce new pollution and mileage standards for cars and trucks over the next 5 years, hastening the shift toward electric vehicles and putting the U.S. back on track toward faster efficiency improvements that were previously revoked under former President Trump.
Well, that is good.
Finally, shipping company DHL announced it has ordered 12 fully electric cargo planes. The planes are by startup Eviation and can be flown by a single pilot and carry up to 2,600 pounds, up to 500 miles.
All electric?
Yep.
Okay. I guess I'm not going to be that pilot. Good news. Although I can't help but think, looking back at this summer, a few years from now, I wonder if we'll all wonder, was this the summer when everything changed? Sure feels like it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple, or Google Podcasts. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Oh, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah. I want to get
Love that song. And here we are at the halfway mark of the program. Shorty, if you want to get involved, if you want to ring in, the lines are open. You mentioned wanting to say a thing or two. A couple of things from Brother Deacon Asa. Hillary was a bad candidate. Brother Deacon Asa asking, really? As bad as a lifelong degenerate who has never had a scintilla of political experience in his miserable life and makes sport of grabbing women by their genitalia? As bad as a piss-poor so-called businessman who's gone bankrupt 7 times in his miserable life? What's our metric for measuring bad here, people? And then back to my climate change and 97% of scientists. Ah, come on, Kincaid, I call bullshit. Scientists play the game because they're angling for that sweet, sweet grant moolah. On the other hand, fossil fuel companies have absolutely zero financial incentive for peddling their fossil fuels. Wake up, sheeple! Scientists are robbing us blind! We had a Joey's Journal this evening, and just because I was dealing with all the Sturm und Drang that began the program, I was late getting to it, but here we are at the halfway point. So, exposed is the subject line. Jeffrey and Junior are looking forward to their first baseball game tomorrow night in Akron when the Akron Rubber Ducks, the Cleveland AA affiliate, will host the Altoona Curve, the AA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Curve? Really? Oh, well. There's got to be a reason for that. There's a reason behind the name. I mean, it's kind of like the West Virginia Power. And speaking of firsts, baseball and the Pirates, it was on this day exactly 100 years ago that KDKA broadcast the first Major League Baseball game on the radio, which took place at Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. Forbes Field was named after a former British general, John Forbes, who fought in the French and Indian War and gave Pittsburgh its name in 1758, naming it for William Pitt. Oh, no. Here's Jeffrey on the warpath. Really? We're going to use that word? So what the hell was a British general doing fighting the French and Indian War? Goddamn British were always sticking their nose into everything back then, including the French and Indian War. Couldn't they fight their own damn war? And Junior has a question. Who won that war anyways, the French or the Indians? And, Jeffrey's got work to do with the boy. Well, son, I believe the Cleveland Indians won that war-ed series, which took place in 1763 as they beat the Montreal Frenchmen at Deux Montagnes Park, or Two Mountains in English. I guess the Indians baseball team really exposed the Montreal... Exposed? Montreal used to be the Expos... pitching staff, as they lacked the firepower, and the Indian staff had cannons for arms. I don't know if we should let Jeffrey try to teach Junior his history. Well, what do you know? There last night was good old Ron Monkey Up Duplantis going on a Durantis over Joe Biden and Press Secretary Jen Psaki smacking him down for his poor COVID recovery, or the lack of one in his case. I really like how these fucked up Republicans immediately start barking about the border when they're exposed for how poorly their states are managing the pandemic. And that brings Jeffrey back. Now, just wait a mother-humping minute. I thought Trump was building the greatest wall ever paid for by the Mexicans that was impenetrable. What, and now they're telling us that all numbers and kinds of Central Americans are currently coming through the Great Wall of Trump?
Well, I sure hope Donnie the Walrus Trump can get his money back, because that wall must not be working out.
Smart little kid. He keeps hanging around with Jeffrey. I don't know how smart he'll stay. Joey says, well, I just hope Biden and Jen Psaki keep pounding on these states that are drowning in COVID, because there are some major Senate seats that will be up for grabs in 2022 in the COVID overexposed states. Hopefully these thorn-in-the-side governors will be held accountable, including Ohio, where vaccines are way down at this point. Florida's got a seat in contention. North Carolina's got an open seat. Talabama, for God's sakes, has an open seat. Oh, if only there was somebody who could meaningfully challenge on the Democratic side. Ron Paul's up for re-election, y'all. How about that? This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 5th day of August, 2021, with Giraffe and Jr. getting ready for tomorrow's game with the Akron Rubber Ducks. That at least makes sense. Rubber Ducks, Akron... rubber industry. I got nothing with Altoona Curve. Anybody want to? Does the Horn, the Horn Family Community Congregation, ad hoc research department want to take that on? Hey, yo, says Megan. Elizabeth Warren apologized when groups approached her about the Native ancestry, saying they were upset about it. She listened to them, even after it was effectively made into a controversy by the right wing. That's the point. How you treat the people who would be your constituents in the event you win the election is important. People are watching and making notes. It would seem basic that maybe during the food fight that is the primaries, you not call people names whose support you're counting on in the future. Not all of us have the luxury of moving to Canada. Some of us have to stay and fight here. Make sure we don't become a theocratic fascist dictatorship. Just my two cents. And a little snarky, Megan. A little snarky. I don't think there's any luxury involved. But I get your point, and there may very well be a response in the offing. I don't know. So anyway, there's $15 worth of, there's $5 worth of triple your money challenge money out there, and then there's Joey and Giraffe's challenge as well. So hopefully those will be met. We'll get down to 450. We'll be looking at something like, well, actually, we would get down to 430. We'd be looking at 7:30 tomorrow. Okay? Okay. Wow. That was a busy little bit over half of a program. And who knows? Maybe, maybe Friday on the front porch is going to be, well, I hope it's not going to be contentious, but it might be busy tomorrow. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Okay. There actually is stuff going on in the world right now. One of the more shocking things that I saw today, because, well, it just sort of came out of the blue, is that AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka is dead. He died at, I can't recall, right off the top of my head, I don't, was he 72 or 74? I think he was 72. And it's not like he was hospitalized. Apparently it was a massive heart attack, just bang, dead. And he had led the AFL-CIO for quite some time. He rose to that level, having been the president of the United Mine Workers of America. He was a firm and staunch advocate for the safety and well-being of coal miners, but he also happened to preside over the last waning glory days of the UMWA and eventually handed it over to, why can't I remember his name? Well, it doesn't matter. Cecil Roberts, who has since presided over the mostly demise of the United Mine Workers of America, of which my father was a proud member, and his father was a proud member, and my great-grandfather was a proud member, as was Agnes's father. Mm-hmm. It was something, the UMWA was something to be proud of once upon a time. Unfortunately, because the UMWA embraced with arms wide the practice of mountaintop removal, they signed their own death warrant. Because, as we've talked about on this program on so many occasions, it doesn't take a lot of people to blow up a mountain, poison people downwind, destroy an entire ecosystem, a localized ecosystem, bury the streams that feed our rivers, and cart off the coal to, well, either be burnt or, as is more the case these days, put on a boat to places like China. doesn't take many people at all. About 15 people, tops, can ruin a mountain complex, blow it to kingdom come, and render it unsuitable for membership in anything resembling a functional ecosystem for something like 300,000 years, according to Dr. Margaret Palmer of the University of Maryland. She was on the program many years ago explaining that. And so because it takes so few people, and because the mountaintop removal industry was largely done with non-union labor, well, the UMWA went begging. But that's really not the that's really not the biggest part of all of this. No. With the passing of Richard Trumka, you know, here, with this program and this community, in large measure, well, we ascribe to that ancient maxim of nil nisi bonum. Nothing if not, you know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all about the dead. There are, of course, exceptions to the rule. I will not observe nil nisi bonum on that great day somewhere in the future when we find out that, oh, here, let's just set up the list right now. Henry Kissinger has gone to his long home. And we know where that, yeah, that's going to be. Or Richard B., big time Dick Cheney before he dicks you. No. W? No. Nitwit Nero when that day comes? Nope. No fucking way. It will be necessary to continue to tell the truth about him, if for no other reason than to provide something in the way of a voice for the half a million or more Americans who died because he simply did not give a fuck. But for the most part, you know, even the poor maggot who died down in Dickinson, Texas, and left behind him a COVID positive wife and a 1 year old child who may possibly never know either of his parents. Even with that person, we didn't speak ill of him. We noted what he had done, what he had said, but we didn't say horrible things about him. And I don't mean me and that mouse in my pocket. I mean me and this community. But Richard Trumka passed away. And, you know, stay classy, maggots. They ran right out to trash him. In particular, Virginia Double X Fox, who is the ranking Republican member of the House Education and Labor Committee, said, "My heart goes out to his family in this trying time. That said, I will continue to defend workers against forced unionization, jobs-killing mandated wages, and other socialist policies endorsed by the AFL-CIO. She just said AFL-CIO. It's actually the American Federation of Labor Congress of Industrial Organizations. It was the Samuel Gompers started the AFL, and John L. Lewis started the CIO in competition, and they eventually merged. Stay classy, Maggot Fox. A man who gave his life to a great American organization, by far not far from ideologically pure. I mean, God knows. I mean, I pointed that out. But yeah, stay classy. Imagine running out to call a man who has never, not once in his entire life, been a socialist, using that term. I don't know how many people who aren't union know this. Our union members of the Horn Family Community Congregation will know this. The carpenters and millwrights. I presume Sparky probably knows. I know Sparky knows. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the IBEW. Generally speaking, you cannot be the laborers. You cannot be an officer of a labor union without signing a document that says, "I ain't no commie." I'm not kidding. God help you if you turn out to be right. But there's Virginia Double X Fox taking a big steamer on a man who did more to help more people than Virginia Double X Fox has ever done in her entire misbegotten, best part of her ran down her mama's leg life. One individual put it, Virginia Fox is now 78 years old, which is also the average life expectancy in the U.S. Please remember her statement about Mr. Trumka when composing your thoughts about her in the near future. Since she called Richard Trumka a socialist, does that mean we get to refer to her as a fascist? Because that's what right-wingery is. God, these people are disgusting. Because these Republicans despise organized labor, and it's fitting that we would talk about how they despise organized labor, being as how Ron and Raleigh got us started by pointing out that this is the 40th anniversary of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan's attack on the working class in the United States of America. Oh, there's our trivia answer this evening. The Altoona Curve, Ron and Raleigh tells us, are named for a nearby horseshoe curve. There's a similar curve in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, named Hawthorne's Curve. Well, be damned. I guess this is part of the, so many potential team names are trademarked and patented and copyrighted and folded and spindled and mutilated. You want to use a local landmark or some local phenomenon. Kind of makes me wish we could open up that somebody would open up a maybe a little rookie league team or something over around Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and name it the Point Pleasant Mothmen. Mothmans? I don't know, but you get the idea. Yeah. I got a note from Shorty in L.A. Shorty in L.A. says, $50 no thorns challenge. The challenge is there's never thorns in the horn. We're family and this is how we do. Thank you, Shorty. That's so sweet. So we've got $65 more in challenges. And that would go a long way toward making tomorrow not quite so harrowing. If, of course, you want to respond to it and double your money. Thank you. Thank you, Shorty. Thank you so very much. There's never thorns in the horns. We're family, and this is how we do. Damn straight, Shorty. Damn straight. Speaking ill of the dead, how about Rush, asks Jeremy in Vermont. Oh, my God. We need a soundtrack of a little, like a tinkling whorehouse piano whenever Jeremy asks about the spiritual whereabouts of Flush Flemball. How about Rush? Jeremy asks. Q says he's still alive with Elvis, Tupac, and Kurt Cobain. In Michigan. Or up on Mars. Right. Yep. I mean, that face on Mars does look a lot like Elvis. You gotta admit. Yep. Okay, Jeremy. Little jingle there. I ain't no commie. Lee in New York says, somehow I thought their requirement would use better grammar. Where's the proof, reader? Sorry about that, Clarence. Clarence says, I'm having trouble accessing the donation dialog box. I'm on the head-on radio. No, it's head-on.live. Head-on.live. Go to, yeah, that's the tech issue, Clarence. Go to head-on.live, and that's where the interface is. Okay? Brother Deacon Asa says, yeah, but wasn't Trumka the same guy who said we're ready to cooperate with the administration in the moment Trump took over? Fuck him and the sawhorse he rode in on. Or was that the head of the building trades? Somebody in the Horn Family Community Congregation Ad Hoc Research Department's going to have to get on that one. Meanwhile, congratulations, Junior. I'd like to say congratulations to Junior.
Well, thank you.
And going with his proud papa to his first baseball game. You should have a good time, eat yourself silly, and maybe just dream of playing in the majors. Your daddy and I may be punctures of the first order, but how's a young giraffe supposed to learn anything if he doesn't ask questions? Keep on asking, Junior. Eventually you'll get the answers to the questions you didn't even know you had. Signed, your buddy, Dave, in the blind. Yeah, there's nothing like a kid and his parent going to their first ball game. Mm-hmm. So, wow, we've gotten through 2 hours of radio, and, gee, wasn't exactly the show I had planned. But, nonetheless, these conversations have to take place. And let's run over and check in with, I think we got Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Robert.
What's up?
Trunka. I didn't know Trunka had left us.
I was kind of, I got the notification earlier today and I looked at my phone. What? But, yeah.
I just see him maybe on the Sunday shows. He's been on the circuit and he seemed to be, you know, virile and with it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but do remember he did spend time in the mines and that will shorten the lifespan. I think he died at the same age my grandfather did.
Yeah, that's a whole. I don't know. Yeah, had to catch up with you. That's all I can say. Microparticulates, they mean something.
Coal dust is poison.
You know. So you know something? Why is it that I feel like? Maybe you can tell me why I feel like this. I feel like our party, the Democratic Party, is like McClellan in the Civil War. We mean well, but we just won't fight.
I think that's a really apt analogy, Todd.
So I'm vindicated. All right, that's what I feel. It's like we're right there. We give up. We offer up all these lambs. We have to be the gentlemen and gentleladies in the room all the time, right? I mean, look what we did to Al Franken.
Yeah, but that's troubling because, in the end, Al Franken made Al Franken's choices. You know, there was stuff swirling around him, but. In the end, he's the one who decided to bow out. So,
okay, that maybe was not a good example. Yeah.
But we do tend to hold our own to account. Look at the, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, and oh God, here it comes again. Look at the way Democrats are responding to the revelations about Andrew Cuomo. Nobody's. I haven't heard anybody come to his defense by saying, "Well, that was just locker room talk," or "That was just a locker room grope," or "Sometimes when you're a celebrity, you get to do that." I haven't heard any of the defenses put forward for Andrew Cuomo that were put forward for Nitwit Nero. No. Dev, you?
No. 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 And the Washington Journal crowd is very anemic when it comes to making that comparison. And I mean, we're talking like decades. I mean, that's what I'm going to calm down. What I'm
saying
is that people
letting go now, letting go now.
Thank you. okay, folks who grew up in the Northeast in the 70s and 80s and maybe the 90s, it was late by then, we knew who this entity was, known as, you know, Nitwit Nero. We knew he was a miscreant, a fool, a buffoon, whose daddy kept propping him up. And we knew he was a racist. We already knew that. But why is he afforded? I don't know what. He just says what a certain element of this country likes to hear, and they're willing to accept anything. Anything. From him and his ilk. You know? Just like they want to know who shot Ashley Babbitt. Who gives a fuck who shot her? She shouldn't have been there.
Well, I mean, she was invading the Capitol. She was shot while invading the Capitol, attacking the Capitol of the United States. I mean, isn't that... I mean, they can try to make a martyr out of her, but she is no Heather Heyer, and she's damn sure not Rachel Corrie. Not by a long shot. She showed up having been exhorted to attack the Capitol of the United States. And, you know, as we've noted 100 times, if we've said it once on this program, you know, if that had been a bunch of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, those lives would not have mattered, and they would have been mowed down with extreme prejudice. But not the delicate, dainty, little, precious, maggots.
Exactly. And she was in the, she's gotten to the inner sanctum. So let's say she got through those two doors. Then what? She's actually on the floor of the house at that point. Then what? What does she intend to do then?
You know, that, well, I mean, see, I mean, we know, we actually know the answer to that, Todd. And they were thwarted when those alert, mindful young women, Senate staffers, got the lockbox and carried it to safety, the lockbox that contained the ballots. Their goal was to get to that lockbox and destroy those ballots so that the election could not be certified. It's not like that this was all random and it was just chaos. It was a battle. It was planned. It was an attack that was planned, and it had strategic goals. Some of them, their goal was to find and hang Mike Pence or Nancy Pelosi or anybody else they could get their hands on that wasn't deemed a friendly. And others of them had the goal of seizing those ballots and preventing the election from being certified.
It sounds like malfeasance. Maybe not. Maybe that's not the right word. But, you know, that's not the right word. I just, you know, honestly, I am so, it was painful. I'm going back in time, but I was in physical pain watching our Capitol being attacked like that.
Yeah.
By those types of people. And with them knowing their mindset as if they think they're saving the country. I can't get over that. I'm like, why are we even discussing this? All those people should be locked up, and they have to be stripped, showered, weighed, and deprogrammed. I can do that. I'll find out how many calories it takes to keep them alive. Deprive them of all sensory stimulation. They get a dark room for a few days, just enough food to stay alive, and then their reinforcement comes when, you know, they proffer the proper responses to questions, answers, and such. But that's a whole other program. But, you know, we're dealing with a whole lot of people like that. And they're going to do this again.
Y'all, they're going to do it again. Yeah, they are. I mean, I don't know if you saw this, but as of yesterday... Mr. Meth Pillow Lindell is now saying that the reason, and you kind, this might be better understood with a mouthful of psilocybin mushrooms or maybe the brown acid. Steve Bannon, the man who looks like hot dog smell, had Lindell on his program again, and he said that it's all come to a head this year, this last year. This is a spiritual battle of epic proportions. When we get through this, even non-believers, there's going to be so many people coming to Jesus. This will be the biggest revival in history because you're going to see miracles unfold. This is the battle we're in, and all these pieces, when we look back on, you're going to be able to look back and say, wow, this all had to happen to get to where we're going, to this glorious place. And so what it boils down to is you're in the spiritual battle of good and evil, and think what's happening since the election. If we wouldn't have caught this and all the things happened, all the things we're going through, you know, it wouldn't have revealed all the evil. The evil is revealing itself. It's just amazing. It's popping up all over like pocket gophers. Pocket gophers?
What is that?
I was hoping you might know. So God let Donald Trump be removed from office so everybody could see how evil our election system is. You know, an election that every expert worth their salt says was cleaner than just about any election we've recently run. But the closer he okay. But see, it's the fifth day of August, and that means we're 8 days away from the 13th, which he promised was going to be the triumphant return to the presidency of Nitwit Nero, and he realizes his stock will go through the floor and the grift will end if he can't just find some way to explain away the fact that Donald Trump will not be president on the 13th day of August, or any day of August 2021, or any day between now and hopefully forever.
Well, okay, two things. Number one, the way you described it now, I have imagery, you know, obviously in my mind, not yours, maybe, I don't know, imagery of the Crusades. That's what it sounds like. These people would have been in the Crusades. Okay, that's what it sounds like. This Christian, right? And I'm a Christian, but I'm saying, it, you know, interpretation is everything. But, you know, that, we could deal with that. And then, how is the Supreme Court going to rule on this tax release? Because he's going to be nailed. The data's out there. All they have to do is say, you know, make those taxes public or let us use these for prosecution. That's what they're really waiting on. That's what, you know, New York is waiting on. And he, you know, he's a dead duck after that because it's just his numbers. You can't explain away that. And, you know, he said, she said, it's a numbers. Either a spreadsheet show it indicates this or it indicates that. It's pretty damn simple. It's mad.
You would hope, but the problem there is that the people that the math will convince don't need convincing, and the people that need to be convinced by the math will not be convinced by the math or by the return of Jesus H. Christ himself. I mean, honest to God, if that brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life showed up right now and said, yo, it's me, the maggots would say, no, it ain't, it's him, and point to Trump. I mean, it's just a silly little thought experiment, Todd, but imagine, if you will, imagine him showing up again. Well, first of all, he'd have to keep his ass out of Guantanamo. But secondly, imagine Donald Trump walking up to him and saying, you know, you were such a pussy. You let yourself be crucified. I never would have done that. What's wrong with you? Sorry for using that epithet. I apologize profoundly. But that's the way he talks. Because you know he'd do that, right? I mean, have I got that wrong?
It's highly probable. Yeah, he's like, you're a loser. You gave up. I don't give up. You're touching on this whole Jim Baker type Christianity, you know. "Quote unquote Christianity." I don't know what, you know, whatever these people. It doesn't matter.
Who was the guy who wrote The Last Temptation of Christ? I actually tried to watch that the other day, and it was just, you know, it's Martin Scorsese, and Harvey Keitel, and it doesn't hold up well.
It's a tough slog. Isn't it a tough movie to watch?
It really is. I mean, Willem Dafoe as Jesus. I mean, really. But the thing is, there's a line in it where Paul looks at Jesus and says, "You know, if you'd never come along, we would have invented you anyway." And I always thought that the most profound part of the whole movie. Because that's essentially what happens. But it applies here, too. You know, these evangelicals who sold out what they tried to tell the rest of the world was their faith, for a thin bowl of Trump brand gruel, they exposed themselves. They threw every bit of their Christianity right down the crapper. Because, I should correct myself on that. They didn't throw it right down the crapper because they didn't have it in the first place. They were just looking for confirmation bias. That's all.
Right.
And so they wouldn't have any problem at all telling real Jesus to fuck off in favor of the guy who was telling them that they were absolutely right about all the people they hate. And they would just as happily add Jesus to that list. Wait a minute. He's a Negro. That can't be Jesus. My Jesus has blonde hair and blue eyes. Looks like he looks like he might play in the ABBA backup band.
Robin, we could write a good script on this. This would be a good movie. Because in this day, in this time, he would come back and he'd be like a... He would, like you said, he'd look like a brown person, maybe... kind of like somebody from South America.
Kinky, inky black hair, real curly black beard.
Yup.
Be about 5 foot two.
They would think he was a junkie. Like, you know, he'd be on Skid Row somewhere, you know, talking with the prostitutes. This is interesting. This would be a good movie. This would be a good movie.
Yeah, but it wouldn't end any better than the first one did.
Well, therein lies the problem, doesn't it, Robin?
Sure.
So, like you said, see, we're in this age now. I don't know how we're going to get out of this. We're in our information silos, and see. A lot of this stems from the fact that most people do not engage in introspection. They don't understand how they appear. I mean, you say you're a Christian. These are the tenets of Christianity, but this is how you behave. But I don't do that. Well, yes, your behavior would indicate that you, in fact, do that. You know, why are you driving that $8,000 car off the backs of poor people? If you believe in the tenets of the Bible, that is not what it. No, it's not what it says.
No.
I don't get it. I mean, look, it's America. You can do what you want. I get it, but you know, don't get mad when people call you names. When the shoe fits, you know, when the ridiculousness, when it fits, we're married. You know. We didn't make you an asshole. You did that to yourself. Those people, not you.
Right.
Those people. So, I don't know how we get off from that. But, I'm really disappointed, though, in our lawmakers that they can't understand. First of all, everything should have stopped years ago in Charlottesville when they started saying Jews will not replace us. You let that go. I've been telling you that was a fucking foul.
Well, that was one of those crossroads moments. That was a test, and you know, we failed it.
Yep. And that gave the green light to these, you know, these people. And, I mean, look at this shit, man. We talked about this for the past year, what they're doing with the state houses. You know, they're just, now the media is just coming around and saying, well, damn, if they decide to, they can just overturn the election. Like, yeah, you should have been fucking listening. You weren't listening to the Bob Kincaid Show, or the Robin Kincaid Show, or the Kincaid Show, or the Kincaid Program, or Head On Live. You weren't attending.
Well, I presume you have read that letter that came from the guy who wanted at the DOJ who wanted to overturn the election. Have you seen that thing?
Yes.
I mean that.
Yes, we just said
that letter.
Go ahead.
Oh my God. Oh, where? Let's see. Well, I thought I had it somewhere, but let me.
It's not on your desktop.
Oh, it's somewhere in the stack, but my tabs are about 100 tabs long. I'll be forever getting to it. But what he was saying was that. Let me see if this search yields it. There it is. There it is. This from CNN. A draft letter reportedly circulated late last year by a Donald Trump loyalist at the Justice Department shows the lengths his allies were willing to go to overturn the presidential election. It was a draft December 28th letter, it went out via email, and it read as follows. The Department of Justice is investigating various irregularities in the 2020 election for President of the United States. The department will update you as we are able on investigatory progress, but at this time we have identified significant concerns that may have impacted the outcome of the election in multiple states, including the state of Georgia. And you can tell Nitwit Nero had a hand in this because the states in multiple states is capitalized. The draft letter it goes on and says, while the Department of Justice believes the governor of Georgia should immediately call a special session to consider this important and urgent matter. If he declines to do so, we share with you our view that the Georgia General Assembly has implied authority under the Constitution of the United States to call itself into special session for the limited purpose of considering issues pertaining to the appointment of presidential electors. That's how close we got. And that's even before the January 5th special election, Todd. Holy crap.
Damn. So that's before Ossoff and you know who? The Reverend.
Yeah. Warnock.
Oh, okay. Lord, what? So, all right. Now, what we're talking about, now, wait a minute. So is this before or after he called saying, find me votes? Because that's the same state, right?
Yeah. Georgia, but what they were leaning on there was the idea that it was within the province of the state of Georgia. Get this, that the Georgia legislature could call itself into special session because it did not like the Republican majority did not like the outcome of the election. You know, why is that lawyer not facing some sort of charges or some sort of discipline? It was directed to the Honorable Brian P. Kemp, Governor, the Honorable David Ralston, Speaker of the House, the Honorable Butch Miller, President Pro Tem of the Senate. And meanwhile, the election irregularities that the letter refers to simply do not exist, Todd. They do not effing exist.
Well, that's the other kink in the armor, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, you know, it seems a shame. Like, this is... So Brian Kemp is just the redneck he appears to be. That's number one. You know, so, you know, he needs to go ahead with his Southern brogue or whatever the fuck that is. And that's, you know, get his little red man chew and all that shit, because that's what the fuck he is, a nasty-ass racist redneck. Fuck him. Don't give a damn. He's in the wrong... Man, I'm so irritated with this shit. This is bullshit. So they don't like it, so fuck the Constitution, fuck everything else. We're going to get what we want.
Bingo.
So, that income food shit. See, that's what I'm saying. Everything is different with them. They run by a different... Typical white motherfuckers. You just do what I tell you, and don't worry about what I'm doing. If I'm ready, oh, that's me. That's my brother over here running the jail. Don't worry about it. You just keep your ass straight. See, that's that bullshit. That's some plantation shit. That's what the fuck that is. It's some plantation bullshit. And if you don't believe me, read some American history. That's exactly what the fuck that shit is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people are starting to wake up. It's a little too goddamn late. But then when you combine all these little data points and actions, like, in other words, who in the fuck said it was okay? Or who in the fuck let this shit go forward in Arizona with having some, with breaking the chain of custody? I mean, you got a chain of custody with anything important, your blood.
Oh, there's no link. There's no, there are no individual links left in the Arizona chain of custody.
Hey, you see what I'm saying? How did that get that far? There needs to be some legislation right now on the federal level saying, you know.
Well, but look, I mean, remember the Republican majority, the Republicans in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Remember when Nitwit Nero called into that meeting? It wasn't even an actual legitimate meeting of a legislative body. They were just, you know, I guess, you know, sucking down bad margaritas in a motel ballroom, and Nitwit Nero called into that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you have that political figure. I don't remember his name, but he's from the hinterlands of Pennsylvania, a little town I have visited. John in PA probably knows. It's out on the western side. He looks like a biker. He's got, you know, buzz cut and a beard. He kind of looks like he's from the Pacific Northwest. But he had to speak out on that. I believe his last name begins with an F. Big, burly-looking dude. He's like, look, man, this shit is out of control. And see, this is what we have to watch now. We're in the... I'm sorry, but we are in the Civil War now. We're in there. We're there.
Feels like
there. It's just too frightening. Come on, why? How can we not be?
Well, it's everything. What? It's 1858, not 1861. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Right. Charles Sumner and Brooks. They just finished, you know, having their little tete-a-tete on the floor. And now, you know, people are going back in there to their camps, and they're saying, okay, this is what we got to do. Except that we don't do shit. They're doing shit. You can't get no ammunition now. See, they're ready to take over armored insurrection. They're ready. Believe me, they're ready.
You get no... You get no argument from me.
You know, you live in the South.
Sure.
You know, these fuckers are scared to death of groups of black people congregating. All you hear now is like, well, if you seal the border, we wouldn't have a COVID. It's the immigrants. I'm like, well, did you get a vaccine? I don't believe in that goddamn vaccine. Well, then shut the fuck up.
Ding.
They don't even engage in logic. It's all about how they fucking feel.
And yet this is the crowd that runs around with the, what was it, fuck your feelings signs and t-shirts? I've got that part right, right?
Yeah, that's why I had to laugh, yes. I hope Clarence was able to complete his transaction. I'm sure other people.
Oh, he did. Too. He did, that's awesome because that means that I'm glad you reminded me of that. Clarence did get done. Got it taken care of. Let me see here. So it doggone it, where'd it go? Yeah, there we are. Clarence took down the challenge by he finished off Joey and Giraffe's, finished off the Lamar the Magnificent challenge, and then did $10 toward Shorty and L.A.'s challenge, and then Glenn came along and finished off Shorty and L.A.'s challenge and actually got us down to $340. So that's awesome. So we're just looking at $640 tomorrow. Thank you for reminding me of that. I appreciate it, Todd. Clarence, in fact, we got a note from Clarence. Subject line, Nitwit Nero. Todd's right about the northeast section of the country knowing about this creep. I followed Trump's federal housing cases in the 70s. Trump and his father denied black and brown people from renting properties that they owned. These punks were fined by the feds not once but twice. Nitwit's rise to prominence, and I use that word lightly, began with his popularity in the WWE. Amen, cowbell, you know, that goes back to how many times did we point out he didn't start on The Apprentice. That's not where it started. It started with him beating Vince McMahon over the head with a folding chair in the WWE, and that is his operating style. The Yahoos love this so-called successful businessman, Clarence says. The Apprentice took him over the top with the Midwest and Southern rubes. Once the rubes heard the Obama attacks and the other racist, xenophobic, and misogynistic bullshit out of his mouth, the deal was sealed. Their hidden cry is, he's our guy. Ta-da!
Clarence has nailed that one.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Because, you know, he lives down here, I think. And see, this is what, without, I don't try to start arguments with the folks that I'm close to. You know, I ask them, I say, well, you know, what did you know about this person? Well, I like what it says. I said, okay. Well, that's what he says. I said, okay, he's supposed to be a rich, right? Yeah, he's a businessman. We need somebody who can run business. That's another story because I will defeat that argument. Like, you know, business is cut corn. They're supposed to make money. They don't give a fuck about you. Their business is to make money until they get caught, you know, cheating. So let's not get into that. The government's not supposed to be a business. It's about the people. But once, you know, that's a whole other discussion. You can't privatize everything. So then they say, well, you know, but he's going to do something different. We need some change. I said, okay. I said, you like the way he's hard on China, right? They go, yeah, he's hard on China. I said, okay. So why do he and his siblings and his family, why are they still seeking permits to build stuff in China? If he had a couple of bucks, he could open up a small factory in all these abandoned strip malls we have all over the country. All over. Just perfect size. You don't need that much money. You know, start making some. Make your little stupid-ass neckties. You know, hire some women where they can watch your kids at work. You know, think outside the... But he won't do that. Why doesn't he do that? And they get quiet. They hate that shit. See, they don't like logic.
No, hell no.
And I hope I don't sound angry. I really don't. But
no, I think you're being kind of clinical.
Well, thank you. That's my goal. Thank you. That's the best thing I've heard all day. Thank you. Well, not the best, but up there. you know, and I don't know what it's going to take. But see, once again, this is who a lot of them, this is what they want. The worst thing that ever happened to America was having that Negro as president.
You mean the Kenyan Muslim usurper?
That Negro. Yup. Walking around all black in the White House. Who the hell does he think he is?
That's so uppity. ain't nobody but a trifling shiftless person wears a tan suit.
But he was fitting to change it. He was fitting to do something else. And if you could spell fitting, I'd give you $100. How do you spell fitting? I can say it. I have no idea how to spell it.
Oh, no, I got that. That's F'IN'A. Finna. Finna. It's finna change it.
Finna.
Because you're adding that T in there and you're getting a little too uptown.
I can't even fake it. That's fucked up. I have this person, man, they bring by cookbooks for me every day. I have these, I got more cookbooks now. I mean, I got some good shit. I got Americana, I got stuff from the 40s, from the 1800s, I'm cooked. If I don't get fat soon, something's wrong. I don't even know why I brought that. I know why I brought it up, because it's fitting. Yeah. Hey, this fitting thing.
See, you're still putting that tea in there. You're still putting that tea in there.
What? Would you please pronounce it correctly for me?
Finna. Finna.
Finna. I'm finna do this.
Better.
I need to go to class. I have to go to a class. Alright.
Wait. Hone in on it.
Wait, I'll call Mika. She'll help me.
Oh. Well, yeah. And by the way, Jeremy said Obama scandals, wearing a damn tan suit and the salute of a Marine while he was exiting Marine One while drinking a coffee in the other hand. Oh, the flag was falling during those 8 nightmare years.
His antecedent, he said he would never have time to play golf. Ever. I'll be too busy working, he said.
Yeah, but see, then he went up. He went to like Martha's Vineyard in Hawaii and shit, instead of being like an American and going to his skeevy, dodgy little bedbug motel, you know, down there at Mar-a-Lardass.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? I just was like, wow, I just saw him. I mean, this is the end of labor, man. I try to explain to people all the time, like, you understand that our shit, we've been on the slow boil. We're in a $10 an hour economy. And I know I've said this before, but I just can't get over it. When we were in school and college, man, you could have a part-time job, maintain a household with a roommate, have a car, pay insurance. You weren't going to be rich. You weren't trying to be rich. You were in school, but you could go on a date. Get some beer. I mean, what the fuck?
I know.
This is ridiculous. If it weren't for tuition remission, I wouldn't be here right now. You know, it's awful. So I hope someone calls. And listen, you're going to have some responses because you know you're good at what you do.
Well, thank you. Oh, by the way, shopping tip. On the way out, I got a shopping tip, Todd. This is something we learned the hard way yesterday. Had a hankering for because it happens. I had a hankering for shake and bake pork chops because nobody does shake and bake pork chops like Agnes does shake and bake pork chops. So I got some really pretty thick cut pork loin chops. And so I'm in the grocery store. I was in Wally World. I'm sorry. I have so many. Because I got a note the other day from our pal John in Central PA, and damn it, Kroger just added Elaine Chao to their board of directors. What the?
What?
But, you know, that's management, and they hate their, you know, they hate the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, which is one of the unions that represents Kroger workers. So, yeah, they added union-busting Elaine, former labor secretary, to their board of directors, and that kind of makes it difficult to go to Kroger's anymore. So anyway, I found some nice pork chops, and I was and so, you know, I had to go over and get my shake and bake. I made a horrible mistake, Todd. It was terrible. The Walmart brand shake and bake for pork chops was about a dollar cheaper than the shake and bake for pork chops. And I thought, what the hell? I mean, it's probably coming out of the same... No. It was horrible. Terrible. It didn't even taste like... I mean, the seasoning just wasn't there. I mean, it was like shake and bake for Karen's pork chops.
I'm glad you warned. No flavor.
None. Might as well have been sawdust. I should have spent, if I'd spent the extra dollar, I would have had the pleasure that I'd derive from shake and bake pork chops. But no.
See, all right, I'm glad you told me that, seriously. No, this is how we learn, right? We have to, and matter of fact, the guy that brings the cookbooks, because he works in this upscale, fancy, massive thrift store. They have furniture, books. I mean, I've been in there. It's massive. This place is... I wish you... Man, this is a place to go to if you're, like, starting a new home or apartment or whatever. You're young. You need to go there and get a bed. You can get everything you need in one place. But that's beside the point. It's a little two-notch. That's beside the point. But what I'm saying is that my experience with that Walmart food brand is I've never had... And, you know, I only go to Walmart four times a year. I get paint. I only go to Walmart when I have to. I mean, I hate it when I go. I mean, I feel like shit when I go in there. It's just. But yes, their brand of food. I don't remember anything in their store brand of food that was decent. Anything. I've tried it. I was like, okay, I'm here. I'll give them a chance. Right? Give them a chance. No. And you don't want to be fucking up their damn pork chops. Nice, thick, beautiful pork chops. See, you could have made that shit from scratch. You get some Planko breadcrumbs mixed with the Italian, you mix that, then you get the dip, and add your Italian seasonings, garlic powder.
See, the thing is, it's both of us. It's not just me, because Agnes was like, no.
Yeah, see? And it was almost nasty, wasn't it?
Well, it just, there was, you know, there was no there.
So you had to like pour on the hot sauce just to make it palatable.
Yeah, thank God that I had the and I've got it sitting right here next to me. Thank God I had my handy dandy bottle of Old Bay hot sauce.
You're like me. So you had to like shake it on each bite. You cut it, shake it on there. All right, pour it in your mouth. Shake, fork him out. Oh, God.
Yeah. In fact, I just got a swig. That's good.
See, I don't know what the hell, man. The proprietary proportions, they use an Old Bay. Old Bay ain't no joke.
The same thing applies to Zatarain's. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I saw a recipe on TikTok the other day. This is so gonna happen. You get like a 1 pound package of that thick sliced good bacon, maybe the thick sliced good bacon from Food Lion that we like so much. And you cut the slices in half. And you do a mixture of bacon, or you do a mixture of buttermilk and Tony Sachery's and a nice amount of hot sauce. You know what my go-to just universal handy dandy hot sauce is Crystal. And you do all that, and you soak all those bacon. You peel them apart, and you soak all those bacon slices in it. And you let it, you know, you let it soak. Then you take it out, and you roll it in the Zatarain's fish fry, and you deep fry it. And when it comes up, you know, when it floats in your hot grease, it's ready, and it looks like little catfish fillets. You know, those little pieces. But it's bacon. It's bacon. Oh my God. Yeah.
Right there.
Wouldn't it be? And then, you know, do a little, I don't, you know, I don't know, maybe a little bit of homemade ranch. Oh, and I gotta share a note with you before you go. I gotta share a note with you from Jude. Jude said, in this of concerns, we always enjoy the two of you opening the door to intellectually rich dialogue. So necessary in processing. Thank you. And then we have Rumi to remind us of balance, the great, you know, the great Persian poet, Rumi. If you distance yourself only for an hour from your endless thoughts, what do you think will happen? Well, now. And P.S., worthy ground to stand on, as we each must be ready to be ready by being focused and strong. Even a woman of peace recognizes danger. That may be that's the functional equivalent of Malloy saying "watch your back" at the end of every program. we're in the deep stuff now. Todd Shorty in L.A. said, "Thanks to you two, I just spit out the best part of my ice cream cone. You know, the best part's the last part. Y'all cracked me the fuck up." Phenotod, there's no letter T. Unlike Sumami, where you do pronounce the T. Practice, Todd. Remove the T, so substitute it with the letter N. You got to hang around just long enough, because I got to bring Shorty on. Shorty's waiting and wants to talk to you. Darlene in Connecticut just said, Elaine Chow on the board at Kroger's? Why hasn't she been brought up on ethics violation charges for when she was transportation secretary? God damn it. They all protect one another. I think it's an unwritten rule inside the damn beltway. Oh, I think you're right. We're apparently buffering. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, for whatever reason, you've been buffering something fierce over the last few minutes. It's going crazy. Did someone come home? No. No, nothing's changed. Maybe everybody else got home on this little party line internet connection that we have here. And Lee pointed out that we're blipping 4 and 2 minutes. Sorry about that. And Clarence said, Elaine Chow, Kroger board, here's something to ponder. Kroger's corporate office is Cincinnati, Ohio. Let's just call that Northern Kentucky. The turtle made a call, and the check cleared. Truth. Truth. Truth.
Claire's on fire, man. Claire's on fire today. Yeah.
So let me bring Shorty in. Are you there, Shorty?
Yeah, I'm there. And Clarence G, thanks. I wanted to get another ice. I'm gonna get an ice cream sandwich and drop it. Thanks a lot. That was funny. You two crack me up. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, Todd. Bidna.
I'm a Shorty.
Bidna. 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 Bidna,
knock
your
fragile
head. Bidna.
Oh, my God. Bidna. What have we started?
Bidna, tell nobody on you. Keep it up. I'm going to call nobody. I'm going to tell nothing. All right. You Bidna?
Sure.
Bidna, get your butt. You Bidna, let your mouth get your butt in trouble. Hey, Ty, remember this one? Wait a minute. I'm sorry, you guys. Sorry about that. Okay, that was loud. Remember this one? This one is going to make your bottom lip quiver whenever, like you did when you get in trouble. You finna let your mouth get your ass in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, your alligator mouth finna take you places your chihuahua ass can't go.
And nothing moves, just the bottom lip goes up and down. Put that lip in.
How are you today?
Well, you know what? God woke me up, you know, and he told me what he said. You know, God told us both the same thing this morning. You know that, Todd. You know what God told us?
What's that?
Go pee.
Go pee.
And what do we say? Hollering and dancing trying to get to the toilet. Oh, God, oh, God. But make somebody laugh with that, because seriously, sir, if we can't pee, we're in the hospital. But anyway, I'm okay.
I'm glad.
Well,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you wait till your bladder gets full when you roll over and it hurts?
This is what I do. And I ain't, and I'm not embarrassed. I wear pee pads. Because I'm not that swift.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
I know. Too much information, sir. I'm sorry. No, no, I'm doing things, but you know what? What'd you say?
What?
I can't hear. It's kind of going in and out.
Oh.
I can't hear. Is it there?
You're good.
Okay. I can't hear Todd. When did he ask?
I was waiting for you to finish your response. I think I cut you off.
Oh, I don't even remember. Yeah. So what I did want to say to you guys, you know, my little rant from earlier, but what we seriously need to do, it's like not even go with the local news and what's going on, because those are all distractions. Because, you know, Mr. Orange Man soon to be wearing that new jewelry where the ankles are connected to the wrist. Trump, yeah, his name. When he said the word router, he told on himself. You know about the story about the, was it EAC, election, somebody, something. It was reported on Brad Block. One of the people that are doing the investigations was on his show. And they were talking about how they are going to be connecting the routers. And somehow, it's going to be making it easier to tap and hack the election, right? So the lady was on the show saying she had specifically said, no, none of this is going to be happening. Well, nobody listened to her. And so a lot of machines are going to be connected to the routers. And they made a decision in a closed meeting and told nobody. Now, let's put it all together now. The Arizona thing, you think that's an exercise? Taking all this time, and you know they're not going to find anything? Okay, and they have routers there? For what reason? Feel me?
What do you think?
Well, there's a distraction where they're going to tamper the election through technology. You can hack an election through any kind of router. You know, just like the cloud. The cloud is, you know, don't ever use the cloud. You know, it's not connected to anything. You know? This whole thing that they're talking about, if you listen, we used to do these I teach emotional stability in the Air Force and some other things. And when someone's speaking, if you're watching them, you'll hear what you hear. Your eyes will hear. Okay, like our parents told us, you see what I'm saying? You know, so do you hear what I'm saying? But when you turn away from the person and not hear them, not see their face, you hear exactly what they're saying. And so this visualization that they're doing with us is just see, okay, Todd, full disclosure. Okay, I still have a classification until the age 70. They can still call me back. And my expertise is I can't tell you. okay? But some things I can say is I'm witnessing some of the exercises that we used to do with the Israelis. And now, of course, they've turned those things on us. But us as a people, we have to just start talking, okay, and getting out there. And one, before I go back to the election, and one good thing that you said something about financing or whatever, thank Auntie Maxine for the tax records and him, what's his name? This guy's name with the orange suit about to be handcuffed with the jewelry that attached to ankles to the wrist. Trump, yeah. He's going down, okay, but there's others that are going down with him, okay? So, like right now, you've got 18 Los Angeles County sheriff gangs, okay? And it wasn't until this one sheriff awakened from coma and testified in what happened in Compton that we are now about to expose. So Maxine has been very, very quiet. A lot of things are going on. Now, back to the election thing. And I'm witnessing, we witnessed the, what do you call it? What do you call that thing? The storming of the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
We witnessed somebody nervously asking during testimony, what do you think they're going to do? How do you think they're going to do the investigation? His name, Jim Schwartz. And so what you also witnessed was you throw out the fishing line and you bit the bait, okay? And the bait was this. I'm a cop. I got beat up. But here's my bait. And if no one ever did it, anything, more cops would have said it. This person said, I want to get to the bottom of who did this, who's behind it, all the people who were there then, before and after, yada, 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 right? Yeah, I don't care how far I go to the top. And that person that said that, there would not be another process of having another hearing about getting into the congressmen and senators who were involved. It's like that, right?
Hey, Shorty, I wanted to share something with you. I just got a note from Jude, and she wanted to let you know and thank you for putting her in touch. Thank you for facilitating the exchange between her and Lieutenant Colonel James C. Warren. His personal note written to me in his book, The Tuskegee Airmen Mutiny at Freeman Field, was an honor to receive. He sent this note to me. Remember Black History? She said, it's a book I'm engaged with, focused on opening up a history that I was so limited in the full truth of, taking my grandkids as I read excerpts to them. So she wanted to know how grateful she was for you facilitating her receiving that.
Yeah, you brought me to tears because my godfather, he passed away not too long ago. Jimbo was still in Chicago. He and I used to teach at King College. When I was home on leave trying to become an officer, and then changed my mind. It's funny that you mentioned that too. And another thing, did you hear, I call him Uncle Russ, General Russ on the, Washington Journal? If you didn't, you may want to listen to it. Going back to the election thing. So another thing that they're doing is, this whole recall thing here. This whole recall thing here in California has, Carlos Zapata, that went into Shasta County and said whatever he said to the board about being masked or whatever. He's a part of this group that's trying to recall the governor here, which is connected to some of the guys that are in the insurrection. And thanks to me keeping up on the kid in Shasta County, Carlos Zapata, he went to the board or whatever, county board, and said he's going to do, he's a veteran or whatever, whatever. This kid has 10,000 people following now.
Jeez. Well, you know, that reminds me of something else I saw in the last couple of days. You remember when Officer Fanone testified there about at the end of July about what went on January 6th? And you remember how he was attacked immediately by the right, you know, the Tucker Carlson laughed at him, for fuck's sake.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the latest sleaze, and it had to be fact-checked, They tried to say that it was Officer Fanone who was carrying that Confederate flag through the rotunda. I kid you not.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. See? And then we get on television and say, and the nerve of Tucker Carlson. No, Tucker's in Bulgaria right now with the Nazi guys. Talking with Oral yesterday. Okay? And when they speak of the Ukrainian things, the Ukrainian soldiers marched within four, we call it regalia, Nazi regalia, against the Russians. That was what the whole border thing was about. And of course, you know, Putin is a Christian, and what happened with the Nazis in Russia. So, but this whole thing right now, we have some things happening in Africa right now. Some horrible things happening in Africa right now. Some serious things. And what they are trying to do is not let us hear what the Mexican president said about America, and because America and Canada were not invited with the Organization of States, whatever, annual meeting, which coincided with July, I think, 26th or whatever, with the independence of Cuba and all the shake-up and everything like that. And just because I don't have time, we don't have that much time. But I want us earlier today, my rant was going to be about this storm. And everybody was triggered, you know, audio-wise, okay, from what they heard. We can't do that. Hear it? My mother used to say, when someone gives you shit, treat it like shit. Wipe it, then flush it, and don't forget to wash your hands. Because the media is so wrong. Big Gregory, and also the living one, Harry Belafonte, says, where are we? We never lost this. What is wrong with you people? The only one, and there's probably more, with Cori Bush, I'm saying all the things at point, it's us that's the problem, okay? Well, because of COVID. But we have to just say, go back and think about what we were in the 70s. You know? Oh, that's some bullshit. That's some bullshit on TV. Take your television, throw it out, because the media is involved in this shit. Anyway, anytime you don't say that the guy who told the FBI everything about Julian Assange admitted that he lied, okay, and you're still president, then anytime you put more sanctions on Cuba, okay, Venezuela has the most, during the pandemic, because of the fact that they're helping other people when they can't help themselves, and anytime you do not tell the American people that those people were mad in Cuba because of what? Not having needles, not having medical supplies that were not allowed in. That's what the words were, okay? That's what the words were, okay? And anytime you don't tell us that we're in Africa right now and probably in about 2 hours it's not classified, and we're probably going to do some shit, okay? You're wrong, because you're getting and reading the same information that a lot of us are getting, okay? And anytime that you say that Russia did this, see, Russia set his ass up. Okay, we're going to work with the media. You know, Russia didn't do shit. The proof is there that Russia didn't hack anything. Guess what it was? It was leaked. Okay, to hack someone, oh, I've got to go. To hack someone, okay, a simple way. If I'm going to hack you, I won't. Of course, there's about seven. Stand down, I want a phone, please. Well, if you hack someone, what happens is that transfer rate, okay, goes a long way. Okay, if you put in a zip, we call it a flash drive, and take it out, and then do what you want to do and make it look like a Russian, that's real quick. And when they gave that information to the president, Barack Obama, he said, there's no, what did he say? He said, it's inconclusive, there's no proof of it. And when you continue to do that, that is wrong. And when the president of the United States goes over there and does not meet with the people in Russia, pulls out his card of his list, and he's letting me know, I got to do this, man. I get my name on reporters. And doesn't meet with the Russians. And the Russians spoke with everybody, okay? And when you have a president of a country who we are allies with, we're allies with Russia. And I'm telling you this because I lived there. I served there, and I watched it. I was part of nuclear bed down. They're our allies, okay? Well, there's some shit that we ain't agreeing on, okay? We ain't agreeing on a lot of shit. Okay, when you do not tell these people what's really going on, you get calls like this. And I was triggered by hearing these things by people, because we have to hear it and keep expressing yourself so I can be triggered. because I made some, I sent some messages to people. And when the President of the United States does it through the CDC, he's testing out how to deal with fudge. They're telling us not, we're not going to be homeless anymore. Because of the fact that she has the authority to say, no. You're going to grant a charter housing. You got to work with it. You ain't throwing nobody out. Okay? And when the CDC says you can't do this, people, you're going to create a virus. The CDC, also to the Surgeon General, can get together and say, hey, COVID is a snitch. And it's telling on you acting like a damn idiot, United States, not helping other countries, and want to put people in the streets. And excuse me, 700,000 people is a lot of people for less than 2 years.
Yeah, I mean it that's a lot more than died between 1861 and 1865.
Yeah, and my point is, you guys, is that we can't be triggered by that. Just when you hear the television, just turn away and you hear it. Because we well, go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry, I had a mouthful.
Well, let me ask both of you guys something. Why you brought up Fanon, and this is something that's been bothering me. Now, number one, he has a very thick Eastern Shore, Maryland, Southeastern Pennsylvania, kind of Delaware accent. Very thick.
Mm.
But his tattoos, as far as I understand, the white folks that I've been around, that spiderweb tattoo on your elbow, that's a white supremacist tattoo. And on his neck.
I don't know.
Has anyone else noticed that?
I did not. That needs some rooting around. I mean, people can get tattoos for different reasons. They may not always know the symbology of it. But that needs to be looked into. But he was not the guy carrying the Confederate flag. That guy's name is Siegfried something like that.
Yeah,
but,
and I'm not intimating that at all. I'm not. But I'm just saying that particular way, that spiderweb tattoo, as far as I understand it, the people I've been around, motorcycle gang people, that's a white supremacist. That's a dead ring.
Yep.
Now I'm not saying it yet. Like you said, you can do what you want. Just because you fly a Confederate flag doesn't mean you're racist and a redneck. It really doesn't. So it's complicated, but.
It doesn't speak well.
Shorty. No, it doesn't. I mean, there's so many other choices. Why would you choose that? You know, and it's on his neck. It's visible. And if it's on his neck, it's on, you know, I think I've seen it on his elbow. I have to look back, but, that's really a dead giveaway. I forget if it's a left or right arm, but it emanates, and people know what I'm talking about if you pay attention to this. Type of thing. Shorty, L.A., Philly, New York, you know, the country folk don't understand that there are gangs within these police departments. Large police departments, they have gangs. And you know this. Am I wrong here?
Sir. No, you know, that's why I said Maxine Waters has ordered... Wait, let me take off. Maxine Waters has ordered an immediate federal investigation into the 18 gangs of the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department.
Hey, Shorty, this is a good time to remind everyone, I know you've seen it, this is one of the ways Maxine Waters really got on her platform was when she had an ex-LAPD and CIA person admit in a forum that, yes, the U.S. government put all that cocaine during the weed drought. At the same time, they pulled in all the herb, flooded the streets of L.A. with cocaine. Period. Hmm. That's a fact.
Yes, Todd. And somehow that photograph with that tail number. I have personal knowledge of that photo, that tail number of that flight.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Keep going.
Oh, man, keep going. Oh, there's more.
the Air Force. See, that's a big deal. I mean, that changed America forever. Forever. That changed our country. You know, that's why I can't stand when I hear to hear Oliver North's name. I can't stand to look at his fucking ridiculous ass. You know, and he this fucking Tom Cotton reminds me of Oliver North. But I want to be positive as much as we can.
Hey y'all, I gotta break in. I gotta break in on this because we gotta get out of here. But I gotta this will be such happy news to members of the Horn Family Community Congregation up over down under in Australia. That song that we play for the offertory hymn on prayer meeting Wednesdays about hold your donations in the air, you know. Well, that's a parody of an Australian gospel shop called Hillsong Church. And Hillsong seems to finally be kind of falling apart. A few months ago, they sacked their star preacher, a guy named Carl Lentz, for cheating on his wife. And now, in Australia, the founder of the church has been charged with, wait for it, because no one's going to be surprised, covering up child sexual abuse. Police in New South Wales have served 67-year-old Brian Houston on Thursday with a charge of concealing a serious indictable offense, and he should show up in court sometime in October. Police will allege in court the man knew information relating to the sexual abuse of a young male in the 1970s and failed to bring that information to the attention of police. Yeah.
That's fucked up.
But it's also...
Wow,
that's
so wrong. That's
messed up. Yeah, but it's who they are. It's par for the course. You know, it just is. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate you both. Thank you so much. Thank you for the challenge, Shorty. Thank you ever so much for everything. And we will talk soon. Stay away from the Walmart shake and bake for pork or shake and bake for anything. Buy the name brand on it. Just do that and be happy. Thanks everybody. Thanks each and every one of you who are partial sponsors of this little program via Patreon and PayPal. Thank you for all of our a la carte contributions. Thank you so much. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you so very much. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress. Ask them to please co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. We need, we need Auntie Maxine on that bill. We need it real bad if you'd reach out to her office. Of course, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And please, please, if you haven't already gotten your vaccine, get it. Encourage someone who is unvaccinated to please get vaccinated. It's our only hope. Never mind Obi-Wan Kenobi. The vaccine really is our only hope. Use all your frontline defenses. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Take your hand sanitizer with you and use it liberally. Carry it with you everywhere you go, pocket or purse. Thank you. Thank you for doing it, for doing right by your community. You're doing patriotic stuff. Maintain your social distance. Remember, Paul from Parts Unknown says 15 to 20 feet now because of the Delta variant. And by all means, you know, if somebody comes towards you saying, that vaccine is the devil, well, avoid them like the plague, because they are, and they're probably going to be dead in a couple of weeks. Later.